Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Strap yourselves in and get ready. You found it, the tip of the spear when it comes to fighting for liberty and human dignity. It is Thursday, the 11th day of October, 2012, and we've only got one guest today, Paul Watson of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, frequent nightly news host, radio host, of course, writer, and all-around freedom fighter. Paul Watson will be joining us via video Skype from England, from London, breaking down huge breaking news when it comes to Bill Maher. The HBO talk show host, just sickening statement that he made that I guess he knew was public but was in an obscure place. And maybe this is just par for the course, though, what he said. Maybe he'll get awards. Maybe he'll get a peace prize like Obama has for his activities. And I'll just tell you this. It ties into this lawsuit. Jail guards flush baby down the toilet. That's WSMV television. And the mother of three, she had a miscarriage. They flushed the baby, the large miscarriage, the baby down the toilet and laughed at her. That sounds like we've got candidates for TSA workers. I mean, hey, why not rip catheters out of men and women and laugh at you? Why not take your screaming, crying child behind closed doors and have a man with a big pot belly and a mustache start grabbing on him? I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with this picture. I mean, Al-Qaeda may be hiding in the diaper. So we're going to be going over all of that. DrudgeReport.com last night linked to this. It's now down on the lower left-hand side. I say that because it's already scrolled off Infowars.com. I tell you, Paul Watson is so prolific that he writes like five articles a day, all of them important. He's obsessed with news and info. The guy works about 18 hours a day with his wife, Ehan, who also works with us. You can't pull him away from the work, but then he writes these articles at night, our time, which is like midnight his time. And then at night, they never get attention. Thank God the Drudge Report linked to it, because it's already scrolled off our main page. I want to get this moved back to the front page of Infowars.com. Coming next, TSA Taser bracelets. We first reported on this a few years ago. They're back. The Homeland Security was like, well, yeah, everyone will wear a taser bracelet. I mean, why not? It's to stop Al-Qaeda that the government publicly runs. So all of that is coming up today. We're going to talk about the big debate coming up tonight between Ryan and Biden. And this should be a zinger because Biden is gangsterish and better on his feet sometimes than Obama. But he's doddering. For my guess, how many strokes and embolisms has he had? So, I mean, nothing against people that have had embolisms. I'm just pointing out that it should definitely be entertaining. But it is just that, entertainment. I mean, Joe Biden is just a total piece of work. But when you get down to it, Mr. Ryan talks about a lot of issues that I agree with. The problem is he didn't necessarily vote that way in the Congress. So we're going to be looking at all those different angles. Also, let's get Dr. Corsi on. I said no guest today, and then I decided to book Watson right before the show. I wanted to just take calls, and then now I forgot. I was on ManCal this morning, and he brought it up and went and looked it up. And Dr. Corsi, just call him at home. I bet he can come on for at least 10 minutes. I know he's busy, short notice, about this Muslim ring Obama wears. And I actually went and looked it up. So did Michael Schneider of American Dream blog. It's up at Infowars.com. Obama carries a bunch of charms. Some of them occultic, you name it. So when I heard that on ManCal this morning, went and looked it up, I was like, well, wait a minute, it's not just the Muslim, there is no God but Allah, or ring, but it's all these other little charms and goodies. So we're going to be breaking that down. And they're also talking about a new Iran terror alert in New York. So they're trying to hype all that up. And yeah, U.S. troops are massing in and around Syria. So that is now going into high gear. And you know the Syrians had one of their airplanes brought down by F-16s, made it land in Turkey.
Welcome We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. Paul Joseph Watson is going to be joining us coming up at the bottom of the next hour. He's got some breaking news that we'll break here on air dealing with Bill Maher, host of course, HBO television talk show. And, of course, previous to that, he had one on broadcast television, politically incorrect. Pretty shocking statement that we're going to be getting into, just showing where these people are coming from and how does anybody call them liberal. I would call them anti-human. Also, this report is, again, up at Infowars.com, PrisonBlender.com, and DrudgeReport.com. Coming next, TSA shock bracelets. This is the type of stuff that we are covering here on the broadcast today. We are also going to open the phones up, but I need to get into this first. And I know we're covering this. It's in U.S. news, it's in European news, but it's still kind of back of the paper that, oh, there's a crisis in Syria, and oh, we just want the people there to be free and safe, and oh, isn't Assad terrible? He's being mean to the peaceful protesters. We heard that 9 months ago, and the last 3 or 4 months, they went, well, the Free Syrian Army are rebels, but they're trying to bring freedom and, you know, kick out the Assad regime, and then it turns out, yeah, about half of them are actually al-Qaeda, and they fly al-Qaeda flags, and they're blowing up churches and stuff, but yeah, it's the same group they put into Libya to, you know, take down that country and engage in ethnic cleansing of blacks and others. I mean, it's so over the top Orwellian that we're being told give up our rights because of al-Qaeda. But meanwhile, the elements, the criminal elements that have seized control of NATO and our government are using them to start a sectarian Shiite Sunni civil war. It is just absolutely disgusting what's going on, and it's meant to cause a big giant crisis so that the big banks can divert our attention from their economic implosion that's designed to be a takeover and make hundreds of billions a year off more weapon sales and bring down Syria and just wreck it as a stepping stone to go into Iran. And that's the policy that's going on, and we can't even get the media to admit this is a war. I mean, they call it a police action. They call it a humanitarian. It's not humanitarian to be now into day 9, or is it day 10? I don't know. It started like last Thursday of, last Wednesday. So I mean, how many days? 7, 8, 9 days. I don't know. How many days has the shelling been going on? It's at least 8 days now. That is so incredibly immoral in the name of, oh, a few mortars have gotten shot over into some villages. And then the media says, oh, Syria says they did it. And Syria goes, we never said that. And there's no proof they ever said it. That's the telltale sign. That's how Hitler started World War II in Poland. He said Poland kept attacking German forces. And it turned out it was staged. The Germans were attacking their own bases and shooting newsreel footage of it called Operation Himmler. The Spanish didn't really attack us in 1898 to start the Spanish war that we had, the Spanish-American War. But so many other countries have done similar things. Spain has staged stuff to go after the Basque before. This is just the main toolbox tool. And militaries get into this because if you go back thousands of years ago, even to Alexander the Great, he would send in a small contingent of cavalry or infantry to draw out the larger enemy force, say, into a valley or into a low-lying area so they could come down from high ground on them. That's just a classic primitive military strategy or stratagem. And you would get your smaller force of, say, 500 infantry or cavalry wiped out, but that was bait to just bring in the larger force, and then your army wins and you lose 10,000 less soldiers than you would have. And the argument is, in justifies the means, we killed 500 of our troops to draw out the enemy so that 10,000 didn't die. And then that's how you get false flags. That's how these arguments work, to the point of they put neocons on C-SPAN, you know, saying, you know, World Bank officials, we played this again just earlier this week, saying we need to stage something, blow something up and blame it on Iran. Or we need to start bombing them and then say it's an accident to get a war going. And that's what they're doing clearly with Syria. And again, it is incredibly immoral on top of it. Even if you're cold-blooded and think, well, you know, we're an American empire, we're going to control that region and get the oil and gas. They get the oil and gas to create a monopoly to keep the prices high while having policies here that the oil companies actually have been caught running, not environmentalists. They're their useful front people. Even AP's reported on this. They sued 10 years ago to get the documents. We've covered that ad nauseum, where they want gas prices higher. And they want to shut down refineries and not build new ones to have a bottleneck. So, see, the good old boys sometimes will, you know, when I'm walking down the street, they'll shake my hand. They'll go, but listen, you know, I'm an engineer. I've been in Iraq off and on for 5 years, and I'm making a couple hundred thousand a year, and we need that oil. And I go, really? What are you an engineer? Building buildings? Because if you're American, there's not many U.S. oil companies there. It's foreign oil companies that were given the oil rights, wasn't it? Well, yeah, that's actually true. So you're here telling me, hey, Alex, we got the oil. Like, hey, we're pirates. Yeah, it was all a lie. But I've been told this probably 20 times by good old boys on the streets who think, come on, man, you know we're getting the oil. I'm like, yeah, we're not getting the oil. We're paying for the globalists to get the oil to then keep the prices high. Because when they get the oil and restrict its flow, they get higher profits. See, people think more oil, more money. No, their diamonds are semi-precious on the scale. They're semi-precious. They lay all over the ground in Africa, for heaven's sakes. That's why there's one price for industrial, one price for the bauble market. Things that are really rare are things like rubies and things. That's why the rich don't really wear diamonds anymore. They're not into them. And De Beers, the Oppenheimers, they control the countries that have it to create an artificial scarcity. So that's the point, is we're paying for this, paying to radicalize the Middle East. And then when I don't want to attack these countries in a few years, well, they're already attacking Libya a year after they, quote, freed it, saying, oh, my gosh, Al-Qaeda's there. Well, yeah, the Al-Qaeda you put in. So if they topple Assad and then they topple Iran, who knows what we'll get out of it? And then that'll be fine with the globalists. They'll have new enemies to fight that are even worse. And then the good old boys say, well, them Arabs always are just killing each other. Let them kill each other. It's such an immoral statement, because the globalist, even if you like killing Arabs, and even if this was a racial empire, you know, that was having some victory over people, which it's not, you need to understand that's all a pipe dream. The globalists are using the Al-Qaeda, Wahhabist, jihadi threat to re-engineer our once free society and overthrow private property rights, the freedom of the press, religion. I mean, they're dismantling everything and all of the FEMA and Homeland Security training manuals that are public. There isn't a word about Al-Qaeda. I remember 10 years ago, we were covering community events where the FBI would say, come out and help after 9/11, you know, get together to watch in our community. And it was in the news. You'd get there, it'd be a two-day event. We sent reporters to some of them. The Ritters here locally with their local access show went and got it. And you'd get there a two-day event at the, got this video somewhere here around the office. We played it before. We'll do a report on that. It was in Austin. It's the same manuals all over the country, just different. You know, they put a Texas stamp on the manual here and then a, you know, a New York stamp in New York. But it openly said, you go, you get donuts the first, you know, day orientation. They show you Al-Qaeda training tapes. Oh, Al-Qaeda's going to get us. And then they go, now let's segue into homegrown extremists. And 90%+ of the course, this is like 10 years ago, is on homegrown groups and militias and evil gun owners and how the returning veterans are dangerous. And that was 10 years ago. By 3.5 years ago, it's the veterans are the number one threat and they're terrorists. And George Washington's bad. I mean, it's ridiculous. So while you're being told, hey, we're doing all this to fight Al-Qaeda, the globalists run Al-Qaeda. And look, here's the news on the Turkey front. I mean, this could easily move into a larger regional war. Well, it's already a regional war. The SecDef has said, Secretary of Defense said, it could be a very dangerous regional war that could trigger a larger war. Russian troops are now battling U.S. and NATO and British and other troops, but under NATO, They're now battling. I mean, we've known it's been going on for 4 months of the 9 months, but now it's confirmed. Heavy reinforcements of Marines, U.S. Army, CIA, commandos, Delta units, Green Berets, Army Rangers. It's on with Russian Spetsnaz. I mean, it's on right now. Our country is at war with Russia right now. Now, if you don't think that's a big deal, okay. And preemptively, starting it with them. That's Russia's only port in the Mediterranean. They've been there forever. Russia is in a non-aggressive posture. The globalists are trying to overthrow their elections in their country, getting the Russians back in a militarized capacity. When meanwhile, the banks are the people that have captured our country, and they're trying to capture Russia. See, they want to destroy Russia. They want to destroy America. They want to destroy Syria. Oh, and believe me, that's why most Israeli experts say they don't want this to happen. It's going to end up destroying Israel down the road. And make no mistake, the EU and some of these factions, they don't want Israel there. There's not just the pro-Israel faction, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this is sophisticated. This is biblical type stuff. And, you know, I don't even address it from that perspective, but I mean, I'm always saying, oh, no, you know, Christ comes back. I bet it's 1,000 years from now. A lot of stuff's got to happen. It's really starting to creep me out. I mean, it's the genetic engineering, all of it. The kids wearing chips to go to school, thumbprinting to buy and sell, cash being banned in Louisiana for secondhand sales, the farms being attacked, the world government, churches all over the U.S. removing their crosses. I mean, it's just insane. And Turkey's now grounding passenger jets from Syria and beating up the passengers. I mean, this is in the news. I mean, they are really trying to get Syria to do something. And the Russians are there. I mean, unbelievable. Letter I got from Taser International that came in. It says, Dear Mr. Watson, I read coming next TSA Taser bracelets. Please recognize that Taser is a registered trademark and is also a product manufactured only by Taser International, which is located in Scottsdale, Arizona. We don't manufacture a Taser bracelet, nor do we manufacture a device that resembles or could be used as a bracelet. The device should be classified as a stun gun bracelet and not a Taser bracelet. Oh, we're sorry. You don't call it a Taser. You call it a stun gun bracelet. Can you please immediately correct the headline and the story? By the way, guys, grab the video with the Homeland Security promo about the shock bracelets. Can you please immediately correct the headline and the story by removing any reference to Taser brand products in the future? Please describe it generally by stating it as a stun gun. No, we've changed the headline to shock bracelet or electric shock bracelet. If you would like to talk about this more, please feel free to contact me. Stacy Todd, communications assistant. Stacy, thank you for your kind letter. We know you're freaked out by this because it's linked to drudgereport.com. But let me just publicly address this right now because it gets into a bunch of different issues. Then we'll go to break, get back into the news, and go to your calls. I just changed Paul Watson's headline, not because I think Paul Watson's wrong, but because this time you were friendly. When your lawyers 2 years ago sent us a threatening tort letter, I didn't call my lawyer. I got on the phone with your head lawyer, not your assistant person, at Taser International in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I said, because they sent us a letter saying, don't use Taser, period. It's trademark. It's not trademark in free speech news headlines. And just like Google has become ubiquitous with search engines, you have become ubiquitous with electroshock devices. And Tasers have been medically proven that they're causing heart attacks and you've upped the power. And I'm all for people having Tasers as self-defense. Quite frankly, I own one. I don't think weapons are bad, but I think their misuse is. So I don't think Taser's the issue here. And I told their lawyer that. And I said, but I don't like you trying to stomp on my First Amendment. I want you to apologize right now and say, I shouldn't have got this letter. The lawyer said, you're absolutely right, Mr. Jones. And I said, you need to stop sending these letters out to thousands of people, which they admitted, telling them don't use our name Taser. When most people are ignorant and think, oh, my God, I can't say Taser in stories about Tasers. Because, oh, my gosh, I got a letter. That's their copyright. That's their trademark. Well, I'll say it. Taser, 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 Taser. Listen. Trademarks go back to England 500 years ago, for those that don't know. They had it before in Rome, but the modern trademark system was with beer and alcohol, wine, whiskey, scotch. People knew, hey, that's a good little barrel of that. That's a good bottle of that. And there was a mark on it, and shysters would go out and put a mark on their crud. And so the courts ruled, no, you can't use that mark unless it's yours. So I can't sell electronics and put the Sony logo or name on it. I can't go open a hamburger place and put the golden arches up. But as a radio talk show host, and as a writer and a researcher, we can use the word Taser. And by the way, they manufacture one of the bracelets that's been looked at by Homeland Security. And if I want to call a shock bracelet a Taser bracelet, I'll call it that. Now, technically, I think it's better to say, coming next, TSA electric shock bracelets. That's even more for people that don't get it, because people have gotten dumbed down about the word Taser, like the, someone's been dazed, is the semantical linguistic manipulation there. No. How about police killing people with high-powered cattle prods? And why have they increased the power of electrocution devices that you should only use as the next step towards a firearm in a danger continuum? Somebody is swinging a club at you, you're a cop. You got a right to shoot them. But maybe you want to be restrained as a peace officer and just taser them before you kill them, because you don't want, you know, to have that on your hands just because some guy's drunk or whatever and swinging a club around. Quite frankly, a club will kill you. I'd probably just shoot somebody. But the point is that okay, use the taser. Don't use it on a woman that argues with you on the side of the road. Don't use it on somebody who won't pee in a cup, who's strapped down at the hospital, and courts rule that can torture. I'm sick of your legitimate product being used to torture people. So don't threat. Well, this isn't a threat. So I nicely, because I think it's an even better headline, changed it. But not because of your letter, but because I thought it an even better headline the way I just put it and changed it. Okay, so there you go. And it's a First Amendment issue. A lot of people aren't using the word taser because they're threatening them, and that's wrong.
Shot in cold blood, no chance to fight. The stage is set, now pay the price. An ego boost, don't think twice. Technology, the battle's unfair. You pull the hammer without a care.
And just as our technologies are godlike compared to a deer or something that we're hunting, or a grizzly bear, or elk, or a gazelle, or a African lion, a Indian tiger, the globalists have godlike weapons and technologies that we paid for, that our minds designed, that they're now using against us. And they've dumbed the population down to just an incredible level where people don't know what their rights are. People have no idea what their basic liberties are. They have no idea that we're already in, by and large, a global private corporate government that is mopping up less than 10 rogue nations right now. And again, I don't want to live in Syria under the Assad regime. I mean, compared to his dad, he's a nice guy. He's a good guy compared to Gaddafi. Gaddafi's a good guy compared to Al-Qaeda. It's really a lesser of evils. And they're trying to destroy states that are trying to become truly progressive and work with the West, and places where women go to college and don't have to wear hoods over their heads, and where they don't sexually mutilate people. And those are all the countries the globalists are overthrowing, which has always been the British policy to put the Bedouins, basically, and I'm not knocking all the Bedouins, but the radical Bedouins, in charge. That's the jihadis out of Saudi Arabia. They're the army. Saudi Arabia is allied with the globalists. And of course, they used a group to take the blame for 9/11. so the globalists could enslave us here to then make the deal later. This was written about decades ago, to give the Middle East to Saudi Arabia. I mean, Saudi Arabia, ladies and gentlemen, is incredibly powerful. I've read Wall Street Journal articles on air. People have taken it out of context when I've pointed out that the rich Saudi families predominantly are now some of the biggest owners of TV, radio, news, and film production. I don't think you can say they control it, but to a great extent, they are more and more owning it, like News Corp and things. I mean, those are facts, and people don't know that. And that's not a demonization of Muslims and Arabs in general, who I think have been demonized unfairly. There is a larger global strategy to radicalize. I mean, look at Iraq. I mean, Saddam was trained by the CIA in 1958. That's declassified. He was sent over to try to overthrow the Ba'athist Progressive Party. I don't mean progressive in the communist sense, but it was more socialist. And then they made him head of security, and then he became dictator in 79, and the West funded him $30-plus billion to attack Iran. And again, the globalists are trying to destabilize every nation state. That's why they're paying to ship our jobs overseas, while working to collapse China at the same time. Because they're outside the countries. The globalists are corporations playing nations off against each other to consolidate their corporate power, which is not the corporation down the street from you that, you know, does after-school charities, you know, sports teams. Because you know, the left, who isn't really the left, as you'll see coming up in the next hour, they're a bunch of sickening eugenicist monsters posing as bleeding hearts. And they think any corporation or any money's bad that isn't in their pocket. They're just robbers. They're pirates. They're a gang who have giant mobs of moronic people who've been dumbed down from birth and don't know how to fend for themselves, that can just demand their goodies, whether it's Venezuela or whether it's the United States. It's shameful. We know what dependency does. It's ugly. Adversity makes men. Prosperity makes monsters. Victor Hugo, French statesman and philosopher. One of my favorite quotes, because it's true. I mean, old timers, my dad's dad knew how to fix a combine with pieces of rubber band and a tin can and would rebuild things because you just couldn't get a part delivered in a month and he didn't have the money. And he had to make it work. And my dad, you know, just from tinkering as a child, could, like, I'd have a robot R2-D2 break when I was 10, and he'd open it up with a soldering iron and find it and fix it in an hour. My dad could pull over on the side of the road and change somebody's tire in 3 minutes, like it was NASCAR or something. I've had flat tires. It takes me like an hour out there to figure it out and get it up and everything. And I know more than the general public. I hear people, I was just talking to David Knight the other night, and I've heard this so many times from callers and people on the street, but he was doing an interview for TV up there and was talking to a lady, because he's been a media fellow at an institute. And you're out talking to people and you're like, hey, what's your favorite power system then, since you want to shut down coal? And they go, well, I like electricity. It's clean. You're like, well, did you know 51 to 52% of your electricity comes from coal? I mean, I talk to people, they literally don't know where food comes from. They'll say, you should ban hunting. It's mean to kill an animal. And I've been sitting there at a dinner table with someone while they're eating chicken or beef, and I'm going, do you know the life cycle of that animal? At least the beef was out on a pasture and only had maybe an hour of hearing other cows being hit in the head with big gas bolts and killed and having their throats slit and blood out, and a big robot-like machine grabs them by the legs and brings them up into the ceiling out of a horror movie. I've been in a slaughterhouse before, and let me tell you, it's pretty hellish. The point is that, hey, you know that chicken lived in a cage with mites all over it, fed drugs and antibiotics to keep it alive in a horrible place. You've got to wear a breathing mask when you're in there. See, I've grown up in and around farms, and I've been with friends repeatedly, and they've got, hold on, I got to pull over here and pick up a trailer load of this turkey crap and take it and dump it before, you know, we get on down the road and go hunting. And you pull in, like, put this mask on. You want to see something? Put, I mean, you're like, whoa. I mean, I don't want animals actually treated like that. I think we should have some basic rules and pay more. So that, but instead, they're not going to do that. They're using animal rights to shut down small farms and ranches that are incredibly humane so that big factory farms can run everything. And believe me, folks, if you hadn't been on one, you don't know. It is like a concentration camp on steroids. And my point is, hey, okay, you can say the chickens are dumb animals, and they are. The issue is we're eating that. You ever tasted a really farm-raised real chicken? With it boiled down in the broth, it tastes completely different than what you think chicken is. It's just flavorless blubber. I remember, 15 years ago, BBC reported on it, and they showed it. It's a chicken with four legs instead of wings, so it had more meat on it. But they decided that it was too hard to keep them alive. Oh, and they didn't have a head. I forgot that part. They have a funnel where you just stick a funnel in a hole, and then the chicken just grows up as a big blob. And you think it's safe to genetically engineer something like that and then eat that? We're already eating cloned beef, cloned chicken, you name it. And see, that's supposedly what the liberals don't like, but they're never off fighting that. They're too busy saying, oh, I don't think Fukushima's a problem. There's too many people. Or oh, I'm a scientist. We got a new article out today. Yeah, okay, the GMO is sterilizing you. There's too many people. They're really just a bunch of weird failures that are so angry at the world that they just hate everybody, and they think if they had power, everything would be okay. You know, I have personally been around a lot of these people, and folks aren't happy that haven't been successful on their own. I mean, when you've been successful on your own, it is extremely satisfying. It is empowering, not from a power trip perspective, but from you're meant to build, you're meant to work, you're meant to create, you're meant to design, you're meant to do the right thing, you're meant to stand up. And it's those points of adversity in my life and the times I did work, you know, 24 hours straight, that are the most valuable to me now. Because that's when I was using my mind and being somebody. Not to be somebody so your neighbor thinks you're cool, but because you are somebody. And I run into these unhappy, empty people who are even successful financially, but successful through the fraud of the system, successful through lies, lying to themselves, and they're just totally unhappy, running around from this to that, trying to find fulfillment, and you're not going to find it. Of course people are unfulfilled and know something's wrong and are preparing, even if they don't intellectually know why they're preparing, because instinctively you know something's wrong because your conscious mind may be diverted and distracted, but even the average dumbbell out there knows, well, wait a minute, they're using radical Muslims out of Saudi Arabia and Al-Qaeda to attack Syria and Libya, but I'm told I need to give my rights up because of Al-Qaeda. Even if you don't consciously register that, Your subconscious, that's around 100 times on average, they've done studies, more powerful than your conscious. I mean, that's the brain, the full brain. You just can't consciously comprehend all of this because it's so big. Those of us that have opened up our minds and focused and studied and gotten into real intellectual exercises, it becomes so deliciously electric that it begins to open up the mind, but then you become, what do they call it, when somebody is, you know, has a high IQ, is intelligent, but they get a little weird? What's the word for that? Eccentric. Yes, that's the word. Well, we all should be eccentric. Humans are meant to be complex, multi-layered, multifaceted people, not decadent slobs eating genetically modified chicken, pumped full of hormones and antibiotics that are destroying the flora in your stomach and giving you gut disorders on top of the vaccines. And I'm ranting. Here's the toll-free number on any of the stuff I've raised. We have the video coming up, coming next, TSA taser bracelets. The video is in our article at Infowars.com and also GrudgeReport.com still has it. It was up last night. Scroll down to the bottom of the left-hand side if you want to find it there. And the Washington Times, of course, reported on it after we reported it back in 08. But now they're looking at it again. And it's along with the other torture where they tell people, you didn't go through the scanner, I'm now going to punch you in the testicles. Or when they attack a congressman's genitals. I'm sorry to mention this. Or when they stick things in your drinks after you've gone through and bought it inside the secure area of the airport, stealing cash and pleading guilty to it, saying, well, I had to punish him. We all do it. The freeze orders. I mean, it's all part of the torture. So we're going to get into some of that. And if you think they won't do this, think again. I remember in 1998, it's in my 1999 film, Police State 2000. It's free online. You can buy the DVD if you want to have a high quality and better res version, and support us at InfoWarsStore.com. Evil capitalism. We don't come take your money forcibly. You just support us if you do. And decide through free will to help us get the word out. But that's a side issue. The Austin American Statesman announced, yeah, they're putting microphones up around Austin. They're gunshot detectors. And I went and looked up the company. And they said, no, it's a shotgun microphone to listen to people at 200 yards away and hooked into the threat fusion centers that they already had before 9/11. They just didn't call them that. They called them threat integration centers. And then I learned they'd put them up nationwide, and now they just admit, oh, we're actually listening to you. But they've never, quote, solved one crime with them because they don't even want to admit it into court because it's really part of a globalist takeover. It's for political people they're going to get later. It's not for criminals that they want to encourage so they can have a culture of crime to fill the biggest prison population in the world. It's a crop of criminals they breed and have the rap culture tell them it's cool. And they have you dress in a way that the police are trained is the enemy uniform of a gangbanger. So the police then go out in a programmed role game. It's a game. It's all war gaming. They don't even consciously know that. So the commanders do to go out and then grab the people and throw them in the university of crime. I mean, it's all been actuaried out. It's all been programmed out by the globalist masterminds, and they phase it in. It looks like they're total geniuses. They are wicked and they are smart, but it's phased in upgrades. And that's why it's so sophisticated and so hard to beat. I mean, if you don't think they'll do that, they have now put IntelliStreets, and there's several other companies. Remember, we covered this 2 years ago. It became a big national story. And they have cameras and microphones in them. And then I've confirmed they're here in town. And I'm so conditioned, even though I've gone and seen them and know they're there, I haven't gone out with a news crew yet to do a report on it. Because, see, I've even been conditioned. I've known about this so long and was laughed at. Oh, yeah. I've been on national TV and radio shows. They go, this is like 7-8 years ago before it was even in the news. It'd been in the news a little bit, calling it gunshot detectors. Oh, you're the guy that thinks the streetlights are watching us. That would never happen in America. Now it's like, oh, yeah, Homeland Security, billion here, billion there, putting in tens of thousands of streetlights that watch you, listen to you, track you, and grab your wireless communications and steal those and run it in wirelessly or into a cable box back to the globalist. For processing, and they built a little NSA substation. They're going to freak out when they know I've discovered this. Doesn't even have a fence around it outside Austin. And I heard rumors of this and then snooped around, and it is some kind of clandestine operation. And it's got all these hubs coming out of it and water storage and stuff. And I'm like, man, they've got NSA stuff down in San Antonio, one almost as big as the giant complex in Utah. And it's like, oh, well, big giant snooper buildings, you know, the size of Mall of America or bigger. That's nothing to worry about. And then, oh, you know, 2 miles from my house, some type of spook base. Well, that's living in a free country. And those spook bases, folks, they're watching you and I. They're not worried about Al-Qaeda they run. And, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We've got malevolent bad guys in control. And the reason they can't fully take over is because there's so many good people in the military, in the police departments, in the fire departments, in the bureaucracies, and general citizens. And there's good talk show hosts. And there's a lot of good media people that know this is wrong. But we better get past left and right and Romney and Obama, even though it's fun to watch those two guys spar, and go, man, we really are in trouble. Because here's the deal. They're not just setting up some high-tech tyranny because they're worried about GMO and genetic engineering getting out of control. They're not just setting up a world government, as they publicly say at higher levels. Oh, we're doing this because of super weapons and disruptive technologies. We've got to have a tyranny to protect humanity. I would still be against that because that's always the excuse, and bad guys end up taking it over, even if it started good. But it's not. It didn't start good. It's eugenics. It's cold-blooded. And they want to cull us down to nothing. And they're setting the kill grid up. And all of you that serve the system, you're not going to have to wait. It's always, oh, our kids, you know, let's do the right thing for our kids. How about for you? Because it's just going to get crazier. The end of civilization as we know it, a long emergency, as it's been called, a continued scientific degeneration while the globalists pose as saviors from every angle. As we die of cancer, as we die of neurological disorders, as it all goes off the charts, they'll pose as the saviors, as heroes sucking the money out of us, as the tasers go up in power and more people die, that'll just be accepted, as torture becomes more accepted. I mean, we're just being brutalized right now, and it's going to get worse. So everybody serving this, I mean, I don't know. If you knew what I knew, you would immediately join the side of liberty and freedom and be against the globalist. I mean, there's really no choice. But there is a choice. You are given a choice. So, I mean, you better make one. You better make one right now. You better make a decision what you serve right now. Scientific rulers that call themselves technocrats are able to re-engineer humanity, give us diseases that only the globalists can treat. We're slaves. And they talk about how all their dictatorships of the past have been overthrown, so they have scientifically tried to forge something that is unstoppable. And that's what the robots are all about. They'll follow orders when troops won't. That's what the drugging of the food and the water is about. I mean, we are all part of a giant experiment. They don't just experiment on the U.S. troops with deadly vaccines and stuff. They don't just, you know, they spray St. Louis with nerve gas and kill people. And then decades later it comes out and nobody gets in trouble. You know, that just came out last week. People talking about, yeah, the day they sprayed, my daddy died. I mean, this is killing people. And notice they never get in trouble. Well, who are they? Who authorizes this? I covered it last night on the air. In fact, guys, will you bring me the news stack from last night? I left it in there in the broadcast studio because people actually went and got U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1528, Paragraph B, where it says, oh, you can't test on people. And then you get down there. But if it's for law enforcement purposes or scientific or any form of government research, we can kill you. I mean, the government says they can kill us? I mean, that's how they get scientists to, you know, put a little foster kid in a radiation tank and fry them. And again, people are like, man, that's so morbid. Well, you know what? See, I'm offended by Halloween signs of demons and goblins because my four-year-old doesn't like it. And I know enough about death, and I've seen death, and I don't like it. I'm like, you know what? There'll be enough for that when I'm dead in the grave for a million years. You understand, it's not that I'm a wimp. It's because I'm the opposite. I don't like skulls and death because I really know what it is. And let me tell you, I've made a friend of it, but it doesn't mean I'm rushing to get there. But then people are, I always notice those that love death and destruction think it's cool. They're like, oh, I don't want to hear about abortion. I don't want to see photos of dead babies. Oh, but you support it. Oh, I don't want, well, you think we like it showing it to you? It hurts us, too. We've got to get this out in the open if we're ever going to stop this. Because when we treat animals bad, we end up treating humans bad. And when we treat humans bad, we really treat humans bad. To the point of now in jails, a woman taken in for, unpaid speeding tickets, and you have a miscarriage, they take your dead baby right in front of you, throw it in the toilet, and flush it and laugh at you. And why do those guys always laugh? Because they have to. They have to make it all a joke, the dehumanization they're part of. When you dehumanize somebody, you dehumanize yourself. I've been around people that have been in the ghetto. I've gone many times as a child. Every Christmas we went, and in other holidays, down to South Dallas, one of the worst areas in the country. And my mother would make, you know, hundreds of sandwiches and soup, and we'd go and serve it to them at the Salvation Army, and we'd stay there sometimes all day. And, you know what? It didn't make me feel superior being around all those pathetic people. But I've been around these yuppies and these social workers and some of them. They like the fact that they're around dumb people. It makes them feel big. You know what? It doesn't make me feel big. It makes me feel low. It makes me feel bad. It makes me feel dirty. It makes me feel sad for humanity because them sinking down means I'm sinking down too. And it means my kids are going to live in a world that's sinking instead of rising. I want humanity rising, not sinking. It really comes down to that. And let me tell you, we're sinking and we're sinking fast. And I tell you, adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. My kids are great, but they are spoiled. And you know what? They have not. They've done some charity stuff, but it isn't enough to. You know what? This Christmas, they're going to get to go spend a couple days in the ghetto, I think. I think that's the answer. It really is the answer. Why don't you go visit kids in the state hospital, folks? Go see what's really going on.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, your phone calls are coming up right now. Then Paul Watson with big breaking news, considering Bill Maher just making disgusting statements. And it just shows who these people really are. I mean, I've been around these type of people. All they talk about is how scummy humanity is and how they want to kill people. This is some pretty shocking stuff. It'll be hailed by the sickos out there. We're going to be playing that in 30 minutes. You've got Turkey being hell-bent on provoking war in the Middle East. Russia says Turkey risks lives of passengers forcing down an airliner. They're really trying to start a provocation right now. That's big, big economic news. And your phone calls. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. Guys, is there a way to shrink that down where it doesn't cut off the... there's got to be a way to put the headlines up. Or we just... or it's okay... or we can figure out some new computer program where it's not always just crammed up there. There's got to be a way to shrink it down. Or maybe it's on this monitor. It's always cutting off the headlines. You know, I just want people to be able to clearly read it. Go ahead and throw that up. Good job putting that up there. Yeah, there you go. That looks good like that. Let's try that up there on screen. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for right there. Again, I just direct live on air. I'm sorry, I'm a director. The crew is just doing a fabulous job. We just continue to up the quality of the radio show that was kind of a fly-on-the-wall type TV show, but now we're adding a lot of things to it, including the great soundproofing we've added in here. Fabulous job, gentlemen. Okay, you know what? The interest of all these callers, Jake, Neville, Kyle, Julio, and many others that are holding, we'll go to break here and come right back with you. And then... here it is that I mentioned at the end of the last hour. You can go to the U.S. code at thomas.loc.gov or GovTrack. A lot of other sites, government sites have it. And it's a U.S. code, Title 50, Section 1520A, Paragraph B. And I've got the breakdown there where it, you know, it says there's prohibitions on secret testing. You've got to get authorization, especially on chemical, biological, or radiological. But it says in Section C, exemptions... any peaceful purpose, and they say, well, it's for peace to kill somebody, that is related to medical, therapeutic, or pharmacological, agricultural, industrial, or research activity, any purpose that is directly related to the protection against toxic chemicals, so they got to kill people to know what the chemicals do, or biological weapons and agents, or any law enforcement purpose, including any purpose related to riot control, including if you get into this lethal munitions. So you might want to actually go check that out for yourself. That's how the system is doing stuff like this. And I tell you, every time I mention this, fools comment or they send emails to the office I'm showing going, this is a prohibition on it. Well, yeah, it's lawyer speak. U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 1520 starts out in Chapter 32, Biological Warfare Program, Section 1520. And it's got prohibitions, and it says you can't do it for any reason unless we say so. It's like the UN in its Charter of Rights, Declaration of Human Rights, has 30 points ratified and signed on by all the nations. And up till 29, I mean, it's got rights that the communists promised. You know, North Korea, they promised free houses, cars, health care, total rights, liberties, due process, juries. You just don't get them. The Russians had that, too. The communist Chinese do, too. They just don't follow it. But in 29, it says, unless any of these rights get in the way of the UN agenda, to paraphrase it, and then you have none. So I mean, it's fine print, folks. It's like, yeah, you get this card, no money down, and no payments for 6 months. But then you read the fine print, except for $5,000 down, but that's not counted as down. That's a security deposit. And, well, there is a payment, but it's not called a payment. You know, I mean, it's all just games. And then they sit here and just have this flim-flam argument with you all day, and I'm not going to be part of it anymore. They're run by a bunch of lunatics who, again, are like cancer. They think as they can take over, they're superior. No. No, you're the plague. You're the death. You're the curse. You're the problem.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are taking your calls here in this hour. Paul Watson's going to be joining us in about 25 minutes from InfoWars.com. One of our great reporters and one of the hosts of the nightly news, weeknights at 7, going over just a disgusting comments of Bill Maher that we discovered that have gotten no attention. He made these comments publicly, but it just goes the whole culture of death, eugenics, anti-human, and what establishment liberals really are. They are not liberals. They are very, very monstrous people. And that doesn't mean establishment Republicans are good either, but I mean, the Democratic leadership, the books they write, the statements they make, they are cold-blooded, and they are not the liberals they claim they are. So that is coming up. Also, the big news, Turkey is hell-bent on provoking war in the Middle East. Paul Joseph Watson breaks that down. Jerusalem Post, Russia says Turkey risk lives of passengers forcing down a Syrian aircraft from Russia. Bound for Syria, a passenger plane with families on board. It's being reported by the Financial Times, you name it. They came on board when they F-16s forced it down and beat people up on the plane, including Syrian citizens. This was families. This is meant as a provocation. They've already got Al-Qaeda pouring in and shooting a few mortars back at Turkey to then blame on them false flags. I mean, this is just horrible. And our troops under NATO are now fighting Russians, that's in the news, confirmed in a proxy war in Syria that's been started by the West, and and the West is allied with Al-Qaeda on this. I mean, unprecedented. Because, you know, in the Cold War, they used them against the Serbs, they used them against the Russians, they used them again after the Cold War in the late 90s as a pretext to have NATO bomb Belgrade and other areas of Serbia. Very immoral as well. I'm not taking sides between the Muslims and the Serbs, but it was the Al-Qaeda groups in Kosovo attacking Serbs and doing things, so the Serbs responded, and it was a religious war, kind of like the Crusades versus the different jihads that have gone on, understanding history. But I mean, now this is unprecedented because it's totally starting it with our troops side by side with Al-Qaeda. And then you could say Taliban all day in the 80s. This is Al-Qaeda, and it's on the news. Just amazing. Russia intervenes over Syrian airliner. Russia is demanding an explanation from Turkey over its detention on Wednesday of the Syrian civilian airplane en route from Moscow to Damascus with Russian citizens on board. Turkey said its F-16 fighter jets had made the aircraft break its journey from Moscow to Damascus and land at the Anakar airport on suspicion that it was transporting weapons from Russia to Assad regime. Well, I mean, the West is pouring weapons in. Reuters reported on Thursday that the aircraft and its passengers had been allowed to continue their flight on parts of the cargo had been seized. Folks, this has happened where Russian ships in the Atlantic coming down to get in the Med are being grabbed by British warships. And they haven't, last time I checked, found any ammo or missiles or anything. But, I mean, that's their ally. I mean, again, Russia is defending Syria from Al-Qaeda attack. And there are Russians there. Russian generals been confirmed killed in the fighting. I mean, this is big. I'm going to say this again. Our government with NATO is allied with Al-Qaeda in a proxy war with Russia right now. And the rhetoric out of China is prepare for nuclear war. I mean, we've never heard that other presidents and top generals and admirals. I mean, this is crazy. Right as the world markets melt down, this is when they start world wars. I mean, I don't have words to describe how much danger we're all in. And the fact that you can say the U.S. has done bad things in history, but few times have we absolutely not had the moral high ground at any level. This is shameful. I am ashamed right now. And I'm quite frankly freaked out because if they think the public's so dumb that our government can run al-Qaeda while simultaneously saying we've got to attack Iran, Hillary said last week they're al-Qaeda. I mean, it is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know, Woody Woodpecker. I mean, it is outrageously bad. What is going on? And I just don't even know what to say anymore. It is above my pay grade. And I mean, by that, I'm a smart guy. I study geopolitical systems. And it's just so wild that, well, I know why they're doing it. Then I'll go to your phone calls. It is total global chaos, in their words, not mine, to bring in world government. Herman Von Rumpy, they've all said it. The financial crisis, the military crisis, the flu crisis. The collapse of Mexico, the SPP document said, 6-7 years ago, it's in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. They said we're going to use flu crises, the collapse of Mexico, that hadn't even happened yet. We're going to use all these crises to bring in our world government. And they said we've got to do it by stealth. And Judicial Watch had to sue to get those documents. This is the heads of major corporations with the heads of the U.S., Canadian, and Mexican government, all there telling the governments what to do in government councils. I mean, that's it. The feds have federalized our police by and large. The feds are federalizing the cities. Every town we go to around Austin, we've sent reporters out. We've got more reports coming up tomorrow. It's Agenda 21, and they've got the mayors. They've got everybody. They're funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. They've got the city planners. They're all there just taking everything over. I mean, it's amazing to watch this happening. All right, let's go to your calls. Let's talk to Jake in Mississippi. Jake, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man, look, I got some questions about GMOs. If a cattle farmer is using chicken litter or chicken fertilizer to fertilize the hay seed and then cuts the hay or, you know, fertilizes the grass with it, is the grass and hay then contaminated with GMOs?
I would say to somewhat of an extent, but the world, according to a lot of the scientists and papers I've read, has such an amazing buffer that even if chickens themselves are being fed a bunch of GMO and pesticides in it and antibiotics and growth hormone, the liver is so amazing. That's why they have big swollen diseased livers, that it will hold most of it. You definitely don't want to be eating GMO chicken livers or beef liver for that matter or anything. Because you know, that's kind of like if you've got dirty oil, you don't want to, you know, drink out of the oil filter. It's going to be really dirty. So, I mean, that's kind of a layman's way of putting it. But again, a little bit of GMO is bad, but people have been shown to be able to handle it. They're trying to come out with every major food crop to be GMO. Already over 90% of the corn, soybeans, canola is GMO in this country. And it's, so it's in the fillers, and it's hard to get around. Now they're coming out with hundreds and hundreds of major staple plants. From cabbages to rutabaga to tomatoes to potatoes to just everything GMO. And they're chemtrailing with the aluminum dioxide that makes it to where now they're coming out with GMO plants that can grow in aluminum soil. I mean, they've got a plan. It is. Well, we're living in a science fiction movie, so I don't know what else I can say.
Okay. One other thing, Alex. Did you know that they're building some of these drones down in Moss Point, Mississippi, on the Gulf Coast at Northrop Grumman?
Yes, I did know Northrop Grumman's one of the SEIC and others are some of the biggest makers of the drones.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to shoot that to you, man, in case you didn't know about it. There's a lot of people around my neck of the woods that have no idea, and they're astonished when they learn that fact.
Well, the issue is they've got $8,000 drones that you can mount weapons on that you and I can buy. And you can program it to go out on a mission up to 5 miles and come back and do everything you want, or you can program it on a basic mission and it's somewhat autonomous for $8,000. Now, can you imagine what the Pentagon's got? Everything you see is third or fourth generation drone. I'm told they're up to like 10th, 12th generation. Space planes, you name it. I mean, that's why they're so arrogant. They've got bioweapons that are 100% kill rates. I mean, it's just crazy. It's like Atlantis. I mean, I don't know if Atlantis was real or not, but you know, there's been a lot of civilizations destroyed by volcanic activity, meteorites, things like that. We don't know our real history. And, you know, the globalists, they say they want a world government to try to stop this out-of-control development, but it's the opposite. They're freezing our development while going hog wild in a race with each other to get life extension, and I see a lot of arrogant statements out of them in their own policy reports, not just Ray Kurzweil and others, and they're really just crazy people. I mean, you know, like they were able to take over because they are so wild and are so daring, but at the same time, they're very dangerous to themselves. I just, look, I mean, you know, you've seen what elites have done in our history. They always go crazy. Anything else?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to go to break here in a minute and a half, but let's go to another caller here. Let's talk to Kyle in Iowa. You're on the air from Iowa.
Hello, Alex. It's been a little while since I called in. I got two ideas that I kind of codified. I just want to say this first. I'm in sales currently, and one important thing in sales is to, when you're going to give a pitch on something, you got to give a quick, concise pitch and not talk too much. With the elections coming up and with a lot of people that understand the Fed but maybe don't have a good way to explain it, I've got something for that, and then I've got an idea for you for something you could maybe sell, like bumper stickers and T-shirts. I'll start with the other idea first.
Okay, yeah, give us the bumper stickers, and I'll hold you over with the big idea.
Okay. So with the bumper stickers, you know how you had the 9/11 was an inside job, and you have the T-shirts that said that? Why not say the economic collapse is an inside job and get that out there before...
Pure genius. We need a headline saying that. I should tweet that. In fact, I'm going to tweet that right now at Real Alex Jones. People, please retweet it. The economic collapse is an inside job. Stay there. I want to hear your ideas. We should have whole shows about how to market liberty. I mean, the system acts like marketing, period, is evil. No, marketing that is deceptive or to sell people tyranny is bad. I mean, I believe the best marketing is just telling the truth. Truth sells, and it creates a good world. I just want to live in a good world. I just want freedom. I want to be healthy. I want my kids to be healthy. I just want to have a future. We'll be right back. Speaking of calling us, Kyle, give us your other big idea. Yeah, the financial collapse is an inside job. Great idea. What was your point about exposing the private Federal Reserve?
All right, Jones. Okay. This is I kind of boiled this down into just a quick, concise idea so that way people can get it, because I've probably been awake since around 2007, and it took me a while to totally wrap my head around it, and now it's really simple, actually. And this is how I break it down to people. And a lot of people are like, oh, okay. Even people that are awake kind of like get that like look on their face like, oh, why didn't I think of that before? But okay, so this is how I explain it to people. The Federal Reserve System is like a mandatory MasterCard on the entire economy with no grace period whatsoever and no benefits. Your income tax is the minimum monthly payments, and the only way you get paid is by taking out a cash advance. All right? What do people do if they're in debt? They cut up the credit card. End of story. Sorry, I'm a little fired up right now.
No, I hear you. So, I absolutely hear what you're saying, my friend.
So, but I think for the people that are awake, take that and run with it, because we don't have a whole lot of time left. Just get it done, people.
We have to identify who's been engineering these problems, because it's not going to get better when the people that engineered it are in control, and the private Federal Reserve is the enemy, is the group perching on top of this country. Let's talk to Julio in Illinois. Julio, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes. Hi, Alex. First off, I'm an evil person right now. I'm drinking a superfood, organic superfood mixed with organic bananas, organic 2% milk, organic blueberries. And I'm a sick person because I actually care about my health. So let me take a sip really quick, Alex. A taste of freedom. Hello.
Absolutely, bro. Sounds like you're pretty evil. Go ahead.
I am evil. You had a caller or two callers before me talk about GMOs, and I'm hopeful within the next few weeks to head out to a Midwestern state to expose a openly admitted weather modification project going on. And it's astonishing. We really need to focus on who these people are that are conducting weather modification, who the people are controlling the money in terms of GMOs, drought-resistant seeds. I've done research where they admit it's a $12 million seed market. So companies like Pioneer, Cargill, Monsanto, and so forth in the Midwest are going to make a ton of money, and they are openly now in mainstream media and business articles throughout the country are admitting to drought-resistant seeds as the solution to the recent drought. But I have information where they're causing the drought because of weather modification. And it's astonishing to see this take place. It's astonishing that you have admissions that GMOs cause tumors and causes cancers and causes different diseases, while at the same time you have these companies donating millions of dollars. Nestle, Pepsi, Coke, and so forth are donating millions of dollars to block the labeling of you know, if a product's GMO or not. And it's really disturbing that a state is openly admitting to suppressing rain, suppressing storms, suppressing nature.
Oh, last time I checked, there are over 100 weather modification companies in the U.S. and Canada. And I was having Ben Livingston on 5-6 years ago, the father of weather weapons. He was very old then, but still very sharp, captain, I guess colonel later. And he was the guy flying into typhoons at the end of World War II, the first guy to fly into typhoons and hurricanes. And he was the guy leading squadrons in to create floods again on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. After that, he classified it. After we talked to him, he was on TV and stuff. But later, he wouldn't come back on the show because of, I'm not going to get into it, phone calls and stuff they got. But he was the head meteorologist at a big company that's doing weather modification. And it's one thing if there's a total drought, and, you know, and you lease aircraft to go up and spray and make it rain on your area. But the issue is there's government-funded groups and contractors that are obviously doing things that we've had weathermen and women, meteorologists on, that is designed. I've got clips of people on the news saying whatever they're doing is blocking the water. And they send up aircraft to knock out storms, to knock out water. And there's even treaties on weather weapons. I mean, this is going on over in Dubai. They're making the desert green with it. The Chinese use it. But then our media is like, no, it doesn't exist. Even when the White House science czar in his first speech admitted that it's going on. So it's incredible. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us straight ahead with a special report.
He's bound to die. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. A new article just went live at PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. The article is up there right now. You need to hit refresh because it just went up literally 2 minutes ago. Bill Maher, we need to promote death, is the headline. That's a quote. The planet is too crowded. Let's kill the right people. And this is Bill Maher. During a recent appearance on the Star Talk radio show, real-time host Bill Maher expressed his desire to see more people killed via abortion, suicides, and death penalty because the planet is too crowded and we need to promote death. This is a host of an HBO television show, as you know, and who's always there lecturing us about how he's high and mighty. We have a clip of that in a moment. Asked by the host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, what he thought about the death penalty and abortion, Maher reaffirmed his support of both, remarking the Pope is consistently pro-life. I'm consistently pro-death. Expressing how he was pro-death penalty, Bill Maher said, my motto is, let's kill the right people. I'm pro-choice. I'm for assisted suicide. I'm for regular suicide. I'm for whatever gets the freeway moving. That's what I'm for. Well, you have a freeway because of a large population that's able to build that, idiot, said Maher, adding, it's too crowded, the planet's too crowded, and we need to promote death. Now, you saw the big bioethics publication come out 6 months ago, and Paul Watson found it and made it a big national news story, drudgereport.com, others linked to it, thank God, and it got out. And at first, the media said, this must not be true. And the commenters couldn't believe it. And they went and read it. It's like, wow, it is true. It's not just Peter Singer at Princeton. It's the main bioethics groups. Listen, Dr. Pianca at UT in the biology department 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it's an Endgame, my film, he said, I can't wait for airborne Ebola to be released. It's going to kill 90%. Me and my family are ready to die. It, you know, it's a good thing. FBI even went and visited him after I covered it. He went to the Texas Academy of Sciences. He's gotten awards in Europe, too. And there was a three-minute standing ovation. I had the reporters on with crying by Texas scientist, the top scientist, when he projected a huge wall of red skulls saying, you know, mass death is coming. This is a death cult. And it sounds crazy because they are crazy. See, I'm not crazy for covering them. I sound crazy covering them. I get that. I mean, if I gave you Roman history of Caligula and Nero, or if I read Aztec rituals on air, I'd say that's a crazy show. No, Aztec rituals are crazy. Guys, will you print me an encyclopedia list of Aztec rituals so they'll hear it for themselves? You know, sexual mutilation, taking a big cord through your tongue with obsidian glass and slicing your tongue open, chopping your children's hearts out, eating them. I mean, that's crazy. I'm not for that. I'm against it. And these guys are into death. And this happens in a decadent cycle. Camille Paglia has written about it. Many others have written about it. It's happened throughout history. We're entering a very, very decadent phase right now. And we're in trouble, okay? Because every culture gets these crazies in charge. And for someone that's nothing but materialistic and decadent, they start hating everyone. Because they really hate themselves. They're projecting it, to simplify it. And they want death. And this article is very important to get out to people. And I'm going to have Watson, who's just doing a great job, add some context, Paul. I know you rushed this out where, you know, your article about, hey, let's kill the babies up to age three. They're now saying, let's kill the old people. See, first it's, oh, die with dignity. Then it's, we're going to kill you. Oh, and oh, yeah, there is death panels. You don't need that surgery. You know, you're old. You don't need, you know, new retinas. You don't need new lenses. You don't need a new knee. See, when you lower quality and then say society has a set sum, civilization collapses. When you demand quality, demand somebody pick up your trash at McDonald's, now there's more jobs, now there's more quality, now they've got to compete. It's like a reef system where the more industry, the more business, the more ideas, the better there are jobs. The globalist shell shutting things down and taking from somebody will give you a job. Raising taxes will give you a more welfare. No, it will reduce the tax base. But they know this. They want to make you poor. This is a death culture. And there's hundreds of examples of this. I mean, I can play Fox News clips saying too many kids is what's making the planet worse. Really? The actuaries are about 8.5 billion people by 2025, and then it drops dramatically down to about 3 billion if the trend follows the computer models by, what is it, 2030 or so. You can pull these numbers up. They vary. 2130. So that's the type of stuff we've got going on here. And I've gone over the actuaries. I've played some of the educational actuaries here on air that shows the numbers. In fact, Paul, why don't you add that to your article? That population study group, you know, that has all the little black and white graphics showing the actual numbers of where Europe's 1.3 replacement rate, some countries even 1.2, Japan's 1.2, 1.3, depending on which year you look at. The U.S. is 1.5, but we have a huge immigrant influx, so the population grows slowly. It's now at 312 million. So the world's 7 billion, 100 million or so. and it's going to hit about $8.5 billion and then start going down. You need to now keep it at that level at least, or there won't be two people to take care of two people. There won't be two people to pay taxes for the two people that are retired. See, so they get you in a nanny state, they get you dependent, then they start cutting the resources off, and then you fight even more for big government, thinking bigger government will give you the resources. See, that's the trap. But you don't have to be a dumb animal. You can take control of these manipulations and be conscious of it and then get into a war game level like the globalists are and then see their whole plan. And let me tell you, when you see it, you know how crazy it is. So this is a very important story. Let's play the clip and then go to Paul Watson, who's joining us on Skype. Here is Bill Maher on Star Talk radio show, and this has gotten no attention. Paul discovered this. It's breaking now. And I think this is a big national story because it just shows these are not liberals. Like Margaret Sanger said in her letter to foundations to get money from Rockefeller, she said, we got to kill the black weeds. To do it, we got to pose as liberals. We got to hire blacks. We got to get abortion going. And she's hailed as a liberal. And even though Hitler worshipped the woman and she worshipped him on record. They call Dr. Watson, you know, that discovered DNA, a big liberal. I mean, he gets Nobel Prizes, and he says blacks aren't humans. And neither are you, by the way, only he, the super race, is. You know, these people are dangerous, folks, and they're not liberals. That's their camouflage. They're dangerous. Here's Bill Maher, very sick.
You support the death penalty, according to my note. Isn't it largely Republican?
I don't, yeah.
You might not have birthed the idea, but...
I mean, I have a lot of ideas that you might consider conservative. But I feel like on that, I'm just consistent, like the Pope is consistent. The Pope is consistently pro-life. I'm consistently pro-death. I'm for the death penalty, although I do believe in more DNA testing. My motto is, let's kill the right people. I'm pro-choice. I'm for assisted suicide. I'm for regular suicide. I'm for whatever gets the freeway moving. That's okay. What I'm for.
All right, wait.
It's too crowded.
So
the planet is too crowded, and we need to promote death.
When I look at the Venn diagram of people who are pro-death penalty and pro-choice, I don't think they intersect. You may be the lone person in the world at that intersection.
Absolutely not. I've met plenty of people who have the same feelings.
Pro-choice and...
Yeah, I'm not randomly going around in the street saying, hey, we're going to kill you. I mean, we're talking about people who've earned it. But as I say, you know...
Kill the right people.
Kill the right people. But I'm just not one of those people who thinks all life is precious, you know? I bet you a lot of people wouldn't say that, but if you're pro-choice... Maybe that's really what you're thinking anyway. I mean, this is the big controversy that Rick Santorum brought up. He does not like prenatal testing because he says that leads to abortion because people find out that they're going to have a child who is not normal in some way and they have an abortion because they don't want to raise a child with severe challenges. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Not bring someone in the world whose life is going to be...
And it goes on and on. The video's up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and Paul Watson's report. His Skype's having problems, but he's about to join us here in a moment. This is eugenics, because then it's like, well, you might have a predisposition for cancer or a predisposition for aggression to authority that they call mental illness, which they're now saying. See, once they pretty much sterilize us, you've got to go in and then have the designer baby because they can now create the artificial leg, but then they design. And just like they add backdoor stuff into your cell phone to track you, and just like DARPA created the internet, the system admits they're going to now, the designer humans, they're going to decide. And that's what they're saying. They're saying if a child has any health problems or even doesn't, if you just want to kill your kid up to age 3, kill them. And that's in prestigious bioethics reports. You saw that in national news. The London Telegraph picked it up. Daily Mail picked it up. Associated Press picked it up after we reported it. And you know, some of the U.S. news was like, well, yeah, I mean, kill kids up to 3. Because humans are trash. I mean, the TSA takes your daughter and grabs her. I mean, they rip the colostomy bag off an old lady. They make an old lady, you know, take bandages off from her surgery. I mean, it's about, we're trash. Yeah, somebody died of a taser the other day. Yeah, you know, big deal. Yeah, okay, the cancer rate's up. There's too many people. You know, we have all these bioscientists, genetic engineers, who've on record said, well, okay, it's, yeah, GMO is sterilizing you. What do you think we designed it for? You think we just put one trait in there so it would grow quicker? We put other stuff in there. I mean, they can make crops grow HIV if they want. They can make crops grow chemicals. It's called pharmacological crops. And they're designing them, and you're eating a chemical bioweapon. And it's funny to them. I mean, it's the power trip. And I've been around these globalists. They sit there arrogant and snake-like, real cold-blooded, and they think you don't know. They think you're an animal and your life means nothing. Let me tell you something. I'm not an animal. And you're an animal. You're a dirty, filthy animal, Bill Maher. You're not a human being. The type of stuff you're pushing is what Hitler did. And it's what the Soviets, who were eugenicists, did. And it's what Mao did. And it's what murders hundreds of millions of people and ruins civilizations. Hey, I want to be out on the freeway. I want less people. Well, you know what? How about then you kill yourself, Bill Maher? Now, I'm not saying Bill Maher should actually kill himself. But if he's saying little babies need to die, and he's saying he wants to kill people because there's two people on the highway, Bill Maher, you kill yourself, okay? Before you call for dead children, before you call for all this crud. You kill yourself, Bill Maher. Bill Maher, you're a danger to humanity. You're a threat to humanity. You hear that, everybody? Bill Maher is a threat to humanity. And what he's surfacing there is what his cult's all about. Okay, and they're all over the place shooting their mouths off. I can tell you how many times I've been talking to an abortionist or one of their supporters, and they'll look over and go, we're going to get rid of these blacks, and there's nothing you're going to do. You know, I've played those clips on air. But the truth is, they just pick a group they think people want to kill. The truth is, they just want to kill. They just want to kill, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they're into. They're into death. Well, you know what? I'm not into death. I'm into life. But what's sick is they put people on welfare to make them the blobs they say they are, to get them dependent so they can then sell the idea of killing them. It's sick. The truth is they want to dominate everybody, dumb everybody down so they can control the future destiny of humanity. This is the ultimate act of selfishness. Tear down humanity instead of building it up. Disgusting, Bill Maher. Disgusting. Disgusting. And I think God's going to judge Bill Maher for his insolence and his arrogance. It's one thing to do evil, but I found if you brag about it, I've studied history, I've studied the way things work. It's like saying not even God can sink the Titanic and it sinks on its maiden voyage. Bill Maher, I'm not cursing you because only God does that. But well, you're cursed to hell. There's no doubt about that. You love evil. You love hurting the little ones. But let me tell you something, pal. Let me tell you something, pal. I wouldn't want to be you when you meet your maker. And I know people that have had dinner with you privately and tell me about the stuff you say. I know you hate God. You hate God. It's not that you don't believe in God. You hate God because you've turned your heart to evil instead of turning your heart towards what's good. Ugh. Let's go ahead and talk to Paul Watson. Paul, this report, you found it. A listener, I guess, sent you a tip. There's no news on this. This is a big deal to say we need to promote a culture of death, Paul Watson.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, Alex, that you mentioned before that this is a new cult, because most people think the Manson family cult ended about 30, 40 years ago. It actually didn't, because Charlie Manson, who of course masterminded all those murders, his followers carried them out, he morphed into a kind of new age guru who proselytized about global warming and overpopulation, and he attracted a whole new cult of followers based on that meme. And so I guess Bill Maher is one of them, because the context of this discussion on the Star Talk radio show with, as you said, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is a humanist and an astrophysicist, was global warming, it was overpopulation, and then it ended up with Bill Maher basically admitting that he wants to promote death, he wants to promote suicide, abortion, the death penalty, simply because it's going to get rid of more people and make his life more convenient. But as he mentioned before with the UN population figures, the people who make this argument about overpopulation do it completely out of their own egotistic convenience, because the actual figures show that by 2020, the population replacement rate of 2.1 is going to level off. And by the 2050, we're going to have a massive depopulation crisis, which is why countries like Russia in a mad scramble trying to encourage their population to have children, because it's going to be a demographic crisis coming up in the next couple of decades. And even in places like Brazil, Indonesia and India, their fertility rates are rapidly declining. We all know why. And now people in those countries, which obviously you would expect that overpopulation would be the concern, now there's concern in even those countries that the drop in fertility is going to cause a depopulation crisis. And that's the UN, that's not me saying that, that's the UN Population Division's own figures saying
and
that.
It's what the Lighthouse Giants are called for in eco-science. They're adding stuff to food and water. And we've got just countless bioscientists, genetic engineers, and ethicists going, yeah, we need this. Yeah, we're sterilizing you. And the thing is, it's happening to the yuppies, too, that think it's a great idea when the West is going to be completely gone. I mean, the West is dying.
Exactly. That's why everybody's saying you've got to have kids. They're giving people benefits to have kids in Russia. And then on the flip side, you've got people like Bill Gates saying that he's going to use vaccines to reduce population.
And then the crowd at TED TV goes, when he shows the graph of bringing humans down to zero, because it's all so cold-blooded, hidden in plain view. Just like the guys on C-SPAN saying, let's stage false flags. I mean, they operate like we're zombies and don't hear them.
Well, they know that most people are sitting there watching sitcoms for 6 hours a night and they're not really paying attention, so they think they can get away with it. But, yeah, I mean, Bill Gates obviously, again, saying, yeah, we're going to have death panels and we're going to restrict end-of-life care for the elderly because that money can be better spent. So both in terms of vaccines and restricting end-of-life care, he's saying, let's just kill people, and that's precisely the rhetoric being echoed by Bill Maher in this clip.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We're going to break here in a moment, Paul. Other points you're going to add when we come back in a final segment with you ahead of more calls?
Well, just the fact that the whole population reduction scam is exactly that. It's a complete myth. People have bought into it for their own selfish reasons, and it's simply not true.
Well, yeah, I mean, at its heart, it's the ultimate form of selfishness and trendy classism. To just, I mean, I've sat there and watched environmentalists at national parks look at everyone and go, people shouldn't even be allowed here. It's just a power trip. Nice guy with people like Bill Maher. I mean, these lovers of death who are promoting the police state, but collectivism in the way of helping people. They always want you to have healthcare government run because they care about you. You know, what they want is the government running your healthcare so they can euthanize your butt. They've gotten rid of the Hippocratic Oath. Government run healthcare means eugenics healthcare. And everything you heard out of Maher's mouth is a Malthusian statement. You know, there's a reason we don't want to abort children that have Down syndrome, because we know that's how it started in Nazi Germany. Then it's going to be a child who's got a deformed foot. Then it's going to be, I can't tell you how many people with handicaps, how many people with problems end up being hyper intelligent in other ways and delivering such amazing gifts to humanity. And what you do to the least of these, you've done to me. And if you don't believe the Bible, folks, look, when you have this barbarous attitude, civilization collapses. And I'm sick of all of the liberals saying they're liberal when I've been around them. They're not liberals, folks. They are sick, twisted, hateful, demonic trash. Oh, they make me sick. They are, and the fact that they're so camouflaged and are just, they're demons is what they are. They think there's no God, but when you really get into it, they're always into the occult, and they really are occultists. Well, they're Satanists is what they are. Bill Maher is a pig-like Satanist, even if he doesn't consciously say that. Bill Maher is everything for me. I want everybody dead so the highway's wide open for me, because I'm a pig. I'm ranting, Paul. Make your point. Will you add, I know we've had the clips, I forget the name of the big population study group that has the black and white, you know, YouTube videos with accurate numbers showing how society's going to collapse. We don't at least have two children. Well, it's 2.2 for every two adults. You need a little extra for those that die in wrecks and things. But you add into the population collapse that's happening in the Western world. I mean, we're entering a road warrior scenario here. All of the demographers say. But meanwhile, we have demographers and articles saying world government cut off the food, sterilize the people. That was in the news yesterday. I mean, it's so crazy, Paul.
Well, yeah, it was a UN blueprint from 2 years ago. They said, look, global warming is being discredited. We need to replace it with this overpopulation. So that's exactly what they've done. And it's neo-eugenics, isn't it? Because you mentioned a minute ago about Nazis. Well, of course, the Nazis got it from the British. And you can pick up this at numerous different strands. But one I find interesting is here in Britain, they have all these magazine articles encouraging women in their 20s to get sterilized before they're 30.
And it's so sexy. You've done articles. It's so cool to get sterilized. And don't just get your tubes tied. Go all the way. Cut the ovaries out. Really show us you're a feminist. Ugh, yeah. Yeah, cut out the jewel of creation. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's all being run by Marie Stopes International. And who was Marie Stopes? Well, she was a feminist in the 1920s, 1930s, who wrote love letters to Adolf Hitler, advocating that the poor of character, drunkards and diseased people be sterilized. And she actually attended the Nazi Congress on Population in Berlin in 1935. So she's this big feminist icon hero in Britain. They put her on the stamps. Their organization offers sterilization for women. And she, in fact, went on to leave most of her estate to the Eugenics Society, which later became the Galton Institute. And the Galton Institute today is involved in family planning facilities in the Third World. So we all know what that means. So you can trace it right back to the Nazis. You can trace it back to
the... And let's get one thing clear for even the racist people out there. Even if you want to kill brown people and you think, you know, get rid of them or whatever, they're killing you, moron. The globalists don't want you either. You're being hit by it all too, idiots. Idiots. There's all these people that think they're part of the power structure when you're not.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones. Or own your own business?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
I would just rather have free money.
And if it was from the government, that'd be okay?
If you win a lottery, you win the lottery. You don't ask why, right?
I wouldn't mind getting both, but I really would have rather have my own company.
Who do you want for president?
I want Obama, because Bush didn't know what he was doing.
Can you name one way that he's helped you out?
He gave me $200 when he be turned to president.
You got $200 from Obama?
He gave everybody that had a disability $200 when he turned president. I remember that because I got $200.
You said he helped you out. Can you name one way that he helped you out?
Well, he helped us out by
getting the job.
Low incomes, better with low incomes, Medicaid, you know, Social Security, stuff like that. There, man, he's a good president.
Well, no matter who's president, they're going to take our money and they're going to distribute it out the way that they see fit.
Are you for Obama or not?
I don't like either of them. Yeah.
Well, you got to make a choice.
Would you vote for Obama because he's black?
No.
If someone didn't vote for him, do you think they would be a racist?
No.
Did you vote for him because he's black?
No, I vote for him because what he stands for, man. He stands for helping people out.
If someone were to not vote for Obama, do you think they would be racist?
Nah, I just think they're looking for something else. That's all.
Who you want for president?
Gary Johnson.
Okay. And are you tired of the lesser of two evils, I take it?
Well, the lesser of two evils is still evil.
I think what we should do is stop voting for the lesser of two evils and vote for the good, you know?
Obama's the guy. It's not the lesser of two evils for me. He is the president that I think should run the country again for the next 4 years.
And I believe that Obama, he helped me out in many ways.
Do you like Romney or do you like Obama?
I don't like either, personally, but I think my position is I'm tired of the lesser of two evils.
Well, I'm tired of the greater of two evils. I don't want to vote for Romney.
The United States of America sucks, and I hate the snakes.
Well, the reason why I think we should support President Obama, because he did a lot of things. You know, who was that he caught? Saddam Hussein? Who was that? Saddam Hussein?
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden, yeah, he did a really good job, man. I give him 100% on that.
Yeah.
caught a street fight on video. This is excerpts from the nightly news. I was taking care of business during the break. Forgot it was a one-minute break for the hour. After 15 years on this time clock. We're going to air more of these reports later in the hour. We got Dr. Corsi coming up.
We love y'all. And this is America. And if we can get a few people that don't live here to go back home, we'll have a better world. Thank you for going Greyhound.
Oh, we got a bunch more of these clips. People thinking Obama gave him $200. And people did get $200. Bush did that where you got $300. What was it back in 2002? And it said, a letter from Bush. He wants you to have $300. Well, here's my check. Well, thank you. It's like Chavez type stuff. The government is now being reduced down to that with in the last debate with Obama and Romney debating how many goodies they were going to give us. And then the media is like, it's pretty bad that Romney still says small businesses are good. We know they're the bad guys. I mean, we didn't build that. You know that. Dr. Corsi's coming up. He zoomed in on Obama's ring. Obama, I have an article here, has a bunch of different little charmies and goods. We've covered this before, but Michael Schneider's breaking it down. American Dream, his blog, got it up at Infowars.com if you want to read that. And we're going to get into NYPD. Concern about Iran terror should put U.S. security on alert. That is all coming up straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to another hour of worldwide broadcast. I'm your host, Alex Jones. The news websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and we also simulcast video streams at PrisonPlanet.tv and InfowarsNews.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'll continue with your calls and also play a news clip where we went out and talked to people on the street about the Obama phone. And some of them said, yeah, I think the government should give people basically free everything. Housing, you name it. So North Korea, the nightmare that creates. Now, I reported on this 4 years ago that Obama carries these different occultic charms. And we've listed some of those little charms. In fact, I have a photo of them. You can just type in, guys, Obama's charms, because he's shown them to the news before. But he also, again, wears a ring that has Islamic Arabic script on it. And of course, he did give up his name and become Barry Sotero and did go to Muslim school. I'm not anti-Islam. But the fact is, if the president's lying about what his religion is, that should be at issue here. And, of course, on top of that, now he is putting jihadis into Libya, Syria, and other areas. But, hey, Mitt Romney has come out and said, bring down Assad. So our government, NATO, is allied with al-Qaeda. That's a large contingent. Even the CFR admits it. Of what's happening, I want to talk to Dr. Corsi about that. He's worked at the State Department, worked in security, worked in a bunch of classified areas. He's a best-selling author, New York Times. He writes for WorldNet Daily, and he's got one of the biggest stories out there right now. Obama's ring, there is no God but Allah. And he's breaking this down as a student in Harvard Law School. Then Bachelor Barack Obama practiced of wearing a gold band on his wedding ring finger, puzzled his colleagues. And now there's a newly published photos of Obama in the 1980s, shows the ring Obama wore at his wedding ring. As an unmarried student in the same ring Michelle Robinson put on his finger a couple of wedding ceremonies in 1992. And it is the ring of no God but Allah. Or there is no God but Allah. Dr. Corsi, thanks for coming on short notice on this. Wow, what a discovery.
Hi, Alex. Great to be with you. Yes, I've been writing about the ring since July, as was when I first discovered the photographs of Obama going back to Occidental. In 1981, showed him wearing this wedding ring, this gold band on the wedding ring finger of his left hand. And at the time, I mean, I had no idea what it was about or what it meant. I found then a Harvard Law Review. There was a parody issue, a satire, done in 1990 when Obama was the president of the Law Review. They did up this Dewar's Scotch ad, which was popular at the time. And in the ad, featuring Obama, his latest accomplishments were listed as persistently deflecting questions about why he's wearing the ring. So I knew that Obama was wearing this ring since 1981 and not answering questions about what it was about. Then I realized he was wearing, you know, the wedding ring had always been considered to be this Indonesian ring. Now, that Jody Cantor wrote a story in the New York Times and 2010, Huffington Post covered.
But again, when a man wears, it's been a big controversy, was he married before was the older question. Why is a man wearing a wedding ring on the wedding ring hand, the wedding ring finger? It was bizarre, and now we know what the ring was. That's what's breaking today.
Precisely, and then I found the New Yorker just published some pictures of this ring from Occidental, Obama wearing the ring at Occidental College, and they were detailed enough, I could say, that's the same ring that Obama wore for his wedding, and it's the same ring he's wearing today in the White House, clearly identifiable. Then I started looking at the face of the ring, and Joel Gilbert, who has produced the movie, the DVD, Dreams for My Real Father, Joel is an Islamic expert. He speaks Arabic, he speaks Hebrew, and I showed it to Joel. Joel said, that ring says Allah. And he studied it further. We showed it to Mark Gilbert, who's a very, very well-known Islamicist and author of books on Islam. And Gilbert said, that's the Shahada. In other words, it's the first part of a prayer that says there is no God but Allah. He said,
and by the way, when I saw this morning, because I was on Man Cow, it broke last night at WorldNet Daily, I ran in and looked, and then I went and looked up Islamic rings, and I looked up that prayer, and they're sold everywhere. That's it. I mean, he's wearing a Muslim ring. He is a Muslim. Well, I mean, this is incredible.
And it's the story, the ring is, this is the Shahada prayer. In other words, the only prayer someone has to say in order to convert to Islam is the prayer that's on this ring. It's the profession of faith. There's two parts to the expression of faith. One is there is no God but Allah. That's what's on the face of the ring.
And his messenger is Muhammad.
Yes, and the experts we're talking to today say they believe the second part of the phrase is probably written on the inside of the ring. Either that or it's implied and it's in the person's heart. But clearly on the face of the ring, it says there is no God but Allah. And this is this is the key prayer in Islam to profess faith as being a Muslim.
There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger.
That's it. And in fact, in the Adzan, which is the call to prayer, five times a day, from the minarets in the Middle East, you'll hear the Adzan. The Adzan includes the Shahada.
This is like saying, by the blood of Jesus, we are saved.
It's precisely. In other words, it's an expression of creed. It's an expression of faith. It's an expression that...
It's a maxim. For the Nazis, it was Heil Hitler.
Same type of recognized statement. And also, see, the other part of this, Alex, is that if you're an Arabic speaker, if you're Muslim, if you can read Arabic script and calligraphy, you look at this ring, you see it. You see, oh, that's the Shahada. That's the prayer. There is no God but Allah. If you're, an infidel, if you're a Christian, if someone who doesn't know Arabic or Arabic calligraphy, it just looks like curvy lines. So you wouldn't see it and recognize it, which, appears again to fit right with the principle of taqiyya in Islam, which is a practice of fooling infidels, but kind of wink, wink, letting those who are Muslims know you're one of them. And a ring like this, worn by Obama at every occasion on the White House, doesn't take it off. Certainly in meetings with Muslims, international meetings with Muslims, giving the speech in Cairo, it would have been a signal to Muslims, hey, I'm one of you. I'm wearing a ring professing faith in Allah.
Unbelievable. And again, I am just absolutely blown away by this. And you've got links to the Harvard Law Review. It's on record now. There's more photos of him wearing it. But again, he has all these CIA connections, as you know. Is this not an elaborate ruse? Because, boy, if he's supposedly helping the Muslims, he's putting the radicals in. He's blowing up any civilized areas. He's working with Al-Qaeda, trying to get a civil war going. That I don't think that really helps the average Arab or Muslim very much.
Well, I've maintained, Alex, for some time now, that Obama in the New World Order crowd, including George Soros, is damaged goods, including the CIA. I think there's a massive effort here to take Obama down, because I think Obama served his purpose to these people. They'd rather have, you know, the Romney in there. Romney's much more of a slick New World Order type. Now, if Romney wins, and look, I'm working hard, and I've worked hard now for 4 years to beat Obama. I think if Obama has four more years, we lose our fundamental freedoms and our free enterprise system. I'm sure they'll all still be opposing Romney if Romney's the president.
Sure, you wrote all those books exposing SPP, NAFTA, the globalist, all of it, which, by the way, there's a new big chapter on that, as you know. They're moving forward with that again. It is incredible. But why would he prance around with this? So this is basically like a message, but it's the classic thing, like people don't know gang signs, so they don't know what it says on the wall. So it's basically running up his flag, I guess, to manipulate the Muslims to follow him. It's just beyond bizarre.
Well, it's an insider, I'm one of you, in other words. And to Kia, you could profess that, hey, I'm Christian, and lie, because, you know, in Christianity, lying is a sin. You're not supposed to lie. But in Islam, if you lie in the advancement of Islam, it's part of the practice that's considered acceptable.
I think they get that, though, from the Israelites sneaking into the city, and there's the spies, and they lie. I mean, I think they're pointing to the Bible on that. I mean, I'm not defending the whole thing.
It is a communication to those who can read Arabic and know the calligraphy, who will recognize that the ring has the Shahada prayer in it. There is no God but Allah.
Sure. So where do we go from here? What does this signify, and how does this tie into him openly injecting Al-Qaeda into Syria?
Well, where I think it goes, I think we're at a point where, you know, Obama's professed all this time to be a Christian. He's wearing this ring. Let's just start with the first point. It demands an answer. Let's just be fully reasonable here. Let's say, you know, for 30 years, you know, Mr. President, you've worn this ring and refused to explain it. We now believe we've got confirmation from experts. The ring says there's no God but Allah. Why are you wearing this ring? Why does it mean such a significance to you? I don't have any piece of jewelry I've had for 30 years.
And
I
mean, produce the ring to the public. And who gave it to us? And what's on the inside?
Why was it used as the wedding ring? Because it was represented as a wedding ring that this was a new ring. It's the same ring he's had since.
Well, the word is for years. Have you seen any truth to the fact that Michelle Obama is his beard?
Well, I've been reporting on that because, again, the people at Trinity United are now talking. And the story of Obama being homosexual and the marriage with Michelle being an arranged marriage, part of the down low club of Reverend Wright, I now have from many, multiple, very credible sources within Trinity United. I've reported it openly in WND.
And stay there. Tell us about his beard. And for those that don't know, that's a homosexual man, you know, Hollywood style deal where you have a wife, even you have kids with him sometimes as your cover. And this has been going around for a decade about Obama, but Dr. Corsi's a pretty credible guy, and he's saying, and the reason this is important is they can blackmail him with the info. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be clear on something here. When I saw this article this morning, I went and I looked up these terms and these rings, and there's just hundreds of pages of them for sale. That's what Obama is wearing. And again, we've been against all these wars and attacking the Muslims. I've known it's a clash of civilizations to get them all stirred up, to have this big war, and the globalists use that as a way to take our liberties domestically. But it is a fact he's putting Wahhabists and jihadis into Libya and Syria. His contender is doing it as well, you know, calling for more. It's so immoral. I want to get into that briefly with Dr. Corsi, who's been in the Middle East, been stationed there, knows a lot about this, worked in intelligence briefly. But finishing up with the homosexual area, for me, I'm not even going after him for that on a moral front. I'm not even going to debate that. The issue is that they can blackmail him with this information, just like Bill Clinton, we know, was blackmailed. What intel do you have? I mean, more and more you're saying you've got credible witnesses that this is what Obama's doing.
Yeah, I've got people from Trinity United who were not willing to talk 6 months ago, who now are openly discussing Obama's homosexuality and his arranged marriage with Michelle. It's no longer a secret. And I think it's being widely discussed in the community, tied to the murder of Donald Young, who was the African-American choir director at Trinity, who in 2007 was executed, execution style, bullets to the back of the head. And it was widely rumored at the time that was Donald Young was Obama's lover, and this was a attempt to cover up Obama's homosexuality. That murder put a damper, until now, on people in Trinity being willing to talk. They're opening up at Trinity. The testimony is open about Obama.
They better go public like Larry Sinclair. They're going to end up Arkansided.
Well, and also, see, Larry Sinclair, now, that was another important break for Larry. Larry's defamation case, remember the guy who did the lie detector test against Larry, a guy named Parisi, sued Larry for defamation. Larry said that Axelrod paid Parisi $750,000 to falsify the lie detector test and make it as Larry had lied. A federal district court judge, threw the defamation case out, would not even let it be heard, said that Larry had not obviously lied and that Parisi had not made his case. Now, that was a big step in Larry Sinclair's credibility, that he had twice had homosexual sex with Obama, involving a limousine and cocaine.
Obama does look and act like he's on drugs.
Well, and again, I think these are issues. I agree with you, Alex. The issue here, especially with the homosexuality, I'm not making a lifestyle argument. I'm making a hypocrisy and national security argument. You've got Obama saying he's in support of same-sex marriage. The administration is very much behind an LGBT agenda. Yet if Obama's living a lifestyle that is not, heterosexual marriage to Michelle, he's hiding this homosexuality.
Well, I'll say this. When he has addressed gay and lesbian groups, he definitely gets more fruit boxy. And I'm not being mean about that. He just kind of gets really excited, and it's like he's in his element, and my gaydar turns on. I mean, I'm not trying to – again, I don't get into these issues. I don't judge people. I got bigger fish to fry. It's just that I think there's a lot of credibility to this.
Well, and again, the stories are coming out of Trinity. It's reminding me, Alex, of when John Kennedy was president. The stories were beginning to circulate. And I'm believing that after Obama leaves office, whenever that point occurs, you're going to find a revision of the Obama administration. Instead of Jack Kennedy with mistresses all over the place, and you're going to find homosexual affairs. And it's been widely being discussed, including Reggie Love, his body.
Well, I mean, look at how much of there is in Congress of both parties. I mean, what is the deal with Congress? Is it like a bathhouse or something?
It's been a problem in Washington for a long time. But, again, Alex, let's bring up one more point. I've written extensively about, Ambassador Stevens, who, again, there's excellent evidence was gay. Now, again, the point is not to demean the lifestyle of being gay. The point is that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are actively recruiting LGBT foreign affairs officers, and they're placing them in Muslim countries,
which are statistically highly promiscuous and highly able to infiltrate with sex operatives.
Yes, and also these countries have, take offense to the decadent lifestyle. It's what they consider it. And yet we put a gay, I reported we have...
Tell you what, do five more minutes with us on that, and then I want to ask you about using al-Qaeda in these countries, and we'll get to everybody's calls and some special reports. Can you do five more minutes?
Yes, I can.
All right, Dr. Corsi's with us on short notice. We'll be right back to go over more of this. He's with WorldNetDaily.com. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. Stay with us. We've got to move quick because Dr. Corsi does have another interview coming in about a minute. Doc, what about al-Qaeda and the fact that the West is openly using them to overtake these countries that haven't attacked anybody? Libya, Syria. What's the end game in all this? What are the Obamanoids trying to do there? And finish up with the ambassador statement.
Can we have a minute? I'm just finishing an interview.
Yeah, the call just came in. He agreed to come on, but then he forgot he had another interview, so we may not be able to get that question answered. Okay, real fast, Doc, finish the question about what's the grand strategy inside the system openly using Al-Qaeda?
Well, again, I think it's a failed policy by Obama. It's one of the reasons I think that Obama is going to be taken down, because he's destabilized the Middle East. Al-Qaeda has risen. I think even Russia is opposed to this. They want, you know, the New World Order wants a relatively unstable Middle East, but they don't want it in chaos. They don't want Al-Qaeda in control. You know, Al-Qaeda subdued is kind of okay.
Yeah, I've talked to some pretty high-level elites in government and corporations, and they really think he's a double cross working for some Muslim caliphate. And I thought that was just propaganda, but more and more, you're saying that could really be what's going on?
I think he's a double cross. I think he's off the page. And I think the New World Order, including the CIA, is going to turn on Obama, and he's going to go down.
All right, Dr. Corsi, thank you so much. Look forward to having you back up soon. There he goes. Okay. I said I'd go to your calls. People are on hold. I want to hear from you. I've got some other very important news to hit here. It's just all going insane. And I've got a special report, too. But let's go to Paul in Texas, listening on 1630 AM KKGM. I guess it's up in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Great affiliate up there. Paul, you're on the air. Welcome, sir.
Hi, I got a quick question for you. I've been hearing you bringing up how fluoride water is bad for us. Now, my question is, does given that toothpaste has fluoride as its main component, is this toothpaste bad for us, or... You know, the fluoride on toothpaste.
Let me answer that question for you. Did you have any other questions?
No.
Okay, thank you for the call. Look, there's different types of fluoride. Okay, there are different acids of fluoride, of sodium fluoride, that have had their molecular structure manipulated to make them even more toxic and acidic. And that's the type of acid they put in the water. They take the base sodium fluoride mixed with hundreds of other toxic chemicals in high amounts, and they put that in the toothpaste. It's toxic waste that they have to store somewhere. They mine fertilizer out of the ground, the phosphate industry. And there's also aluminum byproduct is sodium fluoride. Nuclear weapons development and fuel rod development has a lot of fluoride involved. So they had tons of this left at the end of the World War II Manhattan Project. And they said, well, the Soviets put it in the water. This is on record to dumb people down. The Nazis followed suit from them, learned that when they had a deal with Stalin before the war started, and they broke their pact. Well, first they split up Poland. Side issue. The point is that they put large amounts of highly psychoactive adjuvant type fluoride into the water. And they put it also in the toothpaste at very high levels. Small amounts of regular calcium fluoride are good for you and do strengthen your teeth and bones, and you do need it. You need tiny amounts. I mean, that's why eating an apple, there's some arsenic in it. There's some lead, there's some mercury, but it's bound in with the things. And you would die if you didn't have microscopic amounts of arsenic, lead, mercury, things like that. Even cyanide, you know, is one of the cancer treatments because there's cyanide bound up in the apple seeds, in the cherry seeds and things like that. It's kind of a natural chemotherapy. I'm not recommending you do that. You can just go look at those. He's written a book about it. He's really, we ought to get Geoffrey Griffin on about this. He takes the, what's the little green, they're like oranges, but they're not. They have a name. No, not loquats. It's got a seed that they say is the best mix of it. The point, apricot seeds. There you go. Thank you. The point is that there's good trace amounts of things, and then there's bad industrial styles of it. So they'll argue and say, hey, you need some fluoride. Well, yeah, what type of fluoride and how much of it, you know, is there? When you get plant-derived minerals at the finer, you know, health food stores, it will say on there trace amounts of, you know, lead, arsenic, things like that. Because, well, yeah, sure, your blood's got 10 to 20 times that in it naturally, but just technically you can say it's in the air. Okay, so it's not like you get a little bit of arsenic and it kills you. You actually need it for cell production. A little trick if you want to make somebody really, really sick is you stick a horsehair in a cigarette back when people used to smoke, and I mean, it'll almost kill you because it releases cyanide when it burns, because that's already what's in our building blocks. So it's a complex issue, but my dad, I don't know, 15 years ago said, son, fluoride is good for your teeth. I agree. It's not good in the water and their studies, but you need it. Well, that was before he saw the literature and went, well, this is industrial, different type of fluoride. Just like the head dentist, you can look this up and forget his name, in Canada 20 years ago promoted, hey, we need fluoridation here, until he realized, wait, this is toxic waste fluoride with a bunch of other stuff added to it. So there's some truth. Yeah, you need some fluoride, but not that type and not in that amount. It's like they also spray sodium fluoride on the crops as a pesticide. EPA finally got forced to say, okay, let's not use that anymore, but they're phasing it out. It's in powdered eggs, powdered milk, at levels that are hundreds of parts. I've seen it in powdered eggs at 600 parts per million. The studies show 1.3 parts per million massively reduces IQ. That's 1.3 parts per million. And they've got 300, 400, 500, 600 in some of these foods. I mean, unbelievable. White flour a lot of times has it in it. So it's compounding. Compounding. I mean, I've talked to my dad about this. We've looked at the research, you know. His argument is, if you could get sodium fluoride toothpaste, removed, that would be a good thing. But some calcium fluoride in there would probably be good. Again, reality is so much more complex. So it gets dumbed down to a point that it's hard to even communicate all this information. But I remember, 10 years ago going to the health food store and, getting liquid vitamins and stuff when my son had been born, because I'd read that was good to put some of that in his juice and stuff when he was like a year old. And going to the people at the store going, this says it has trace amounts of lead, mercury, and arsenic. And they explain, no, they just have to put that on there under federal law, because anything that's out of plants, you're juicing plants in a juicer, you're going to have trace amounts of that, so they have to tell you that. That's government, though, trying to make vitamins look bad and real minerals look bad, using and playing on people's ignorance, to basically answer your question. I always get long-winded when the callers bring up a point like that. But I do not brush my teeth. I got a call last week saying, well, what do I do? All the toothpaste is fluoride. And I just happened to have been to the store the day before and hadn't put it in my office yet. It was sitting out there on my little desk. I have a radio desk, too. And, it was my natural deodorant. It was my natural toothpaste. It works great. I've been brushing my teeth for, it's got to be 20 years with non-fluoride toothpaste. I just look at them. Oh, yeah. Hugs. No filling. No caps. Texas Monthly wanted to take a picture of my teeth. They said they were scary. Now, here it is. Here's what I use. This is what you use. Natural tea tree oil neem toothpaste. That's a Rob Dew fluoride free. And I've used this brand. I use a bunch of them. I'm always trying different stuff. I got a cracked tooth from a fight. And that was fixed with the kind of white tooth colored filling has fallen off. So it's cracked. Get my teeth cleaned 3 times a year. Got my wisdom teeth too. Look at this. Here, zoom in. Yeah. Wisdom teeth. I'm also streaming video of your radio listener. Yeah. Look at that. All right. That's no fillings, no nothing. Well, let's be technically accurate. My wisdom teeth came in with developmental pits, holes naturally in the sides of them that my dad, every 5 years or so, refills with tooth colored fillings. So let's be technical. I do have 2 fillings in my mouth, but I don't have fillings from decay. Okay, let's go ahead and talk to Neville in Canada. Thank you for holding, Neville.
Hi, long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you, sir.
What you said about Bill Maher's reminded me of from the clip from the movie called The United States versus John Lennon, where they say John Lennon worshipped life, but Mr. Nixon and Mr. Kissinger worshipped death.
Well, that's right. In fact, we have John Lennon saying that people live in compact cities, that 90%+ of the earth is uninhabited, and that we need more children to replace the parents, or society would collapse. He was really smart. I mean, really smart. And he woke up to the Illuminati. His last songs that never get any play were about the Illuminati and devil worshippers and how they were running things, and he was going to expose them. And then we have the letters from Strom Thurmond saying, I want this guy taken out. know, to Nixon. The Senate was like, get rid of him. People are listening to him. And we can play the clips of him on TV saying the Earth's not overpopulated and it's all a lie. We just need to get better technologies and all this. And so you're absolutely right. Yep, that's right. John Lennon worshipped life. Richard Nixon worshipped death. Well said.
Okay. Also, one point about fluoride is that the largest city in Canada has fluoride added to the water. Try to tell you about that. Luckily, I do not live there. I live in a Florida.
Well, wait, we just got it pulled out in Calgary, right?
Yes, I was so happy about they took it out of the water in Calgary. I love that. Yeah, largest city, Toronto, the largest city in Canada has Florida in the water. But where I live, there's no Florida in the water. Happy about that. And interesting, yeah. Okay, and my other point, quotes. Two quotes. Number one, there's a quote. It says, do not give in to evil, but proceed ever more boldly against it. And the other quote is, God give me the courage to not give up fighting for what I know is right, even if I feel that it is hopeless.
I hear you. God bless you, because it is the fight that it's all about. It's that heart decision. You know, I'll say this. I am at peace, and I love God, and I know that we're reaching exponentially millions of new people a week now. I mean, the show is just absolutely exploding, and it's an incredible responsibility to have this happening. But I'm also saddened when other talk show hosts, even on this network, other people outside who attack me and do things behind the scenes that I'm told about and confirm, and they do it out of pure jealousy and envy and make stuff up and do terrible things. And I'm not sad that they're hurting me, because they're not hurting me. I'm sad for them. You know, I mean, it's because I used to be a harder person. And as I realize good and evil more and more of my worldly shields are gone now. Because in the past, I would just laugh about somebody being jealous. And then now it hurts me that they're so bad, that they're such failures. And it scares me for humanity of what's going to happen during the collapse. That people are so snake-like and weak and envious and jealous and hate other people that are successful because they're successful. It's the nature of envy and ingratitude and weakness and the love of death and lies and fraud and scurrying around. I mean, just thinking about people that are like that is like, ugh. And they're, I mean, I don't know. I've just really changed a lot. I'm more attuned to things around me now than I used to be, and picking up on people. And I get more freaked out by ugliness now. Not ugliness. I mean, ugliness of the soul. One day I was down at the big local natural spring fed pool. I just swam about 2 miles. And I got out and I saw this gross pot-bellied old man. But it wasn't gross. He was pot-bellied. I thought, man, that guy looks like a goblin. He just looks like a demon. He looks evil. And he had these super skinny arms that were so skinny. He looked like a cartoon character, something out of a Hellraiser movie. And he was slothfully moving and walking. And I thought, that's wrong. Don't go with your gut. You're you know, being old isn't ugly, because it isn't being ugly. I mean, there's a beauty to, you know, some old people. And I thought, but he just looked so demonic. And he couldn't even tell I was looking at him, because I had a ball cap on. And I was about 100 yards away. And as he walked, it was like spiritual. He turned. I'm sitting there on the grass getting dried off. And he looks at me and smiles and digs a big booger out of his nose and just goes, meow. And just his tongue like a god. And I was like, and now every once in a while I'll be swimming and that guy's in there. And I actually have like an adrenaline rush of, you know, I mean, and I've kind of, it's just, the thing about becoming a better person, getting closer to God, is you start really seeing evil. You know, like the spirit made his body ugly. You know, it was like, and the guys, and he knew, and it was like the spirit, it was like spiritual. He looked over and ate a booger in front of me and stuck it in his mouth and licked his lips like 10 feet away. And I was like, I mean, but it wasn't the act of eating the booger. It was like a demonic thing. And I was like, I mean, it's not even frightening. It's like, it's evil. I just don't like it. It's like, And so when I see people weak and envious and bad, and I get angry and stuff about wanting to fight the globalists and over-revved like a race car. You know, I've got my own problems. I'm not on some high horse. In fact, my own problems freak me out now and make me get upset. And it's not because I'm self-flagellating myself, beating myself, and I'm some goody two-shoes and a delicate violet that can't handle things. I'm now analyzing myself and seeing what I'm like, and it's just freaking me out. It's freaking me out. He wasn't even looking at me when I was looking at him and I was drying off. And then right as I look up, he just turned and just went, and I was just like, oh, and he just ate it and then licked his lips and went, and just went gobbling off. And I was just like, whoa. And he swims like a demon, too. He gets his arms out at the sides and never swings. Just goes, I mean, I just cannot describe. Are you guys getting what I'm talking about here? And now I literally shudder when he's in the area. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, that guy's got a big demon living in him, man. I mean, that is, you know. And, I mean, that's the point is, like, you start really getting discernment, folks, and it's like, ooh. Because you'll find that people trying to act dark and powerful and big, they're not really evil. The devil tricked them that their strength is coming from the devil. When their strength's coming from God, they're just misusing it. I mean, I'm just figuring all this out so fast. Man, I know why the enemy's coming against us at so many levels. Is because we're really having an effect and we're for life and we're not for death. And we're for justice and we want to be good and we know there's something good. And we are a model to others that you can be strong, you can be bold, you can be good. And the system hates it. And again, I, for my individual self, I can be destroyed, set up, you know, ruined, my character assassinated with fraud. I'm not even worried about me individually, but then I worry if I stumble and let them set me up or something, then that'll hurt all the people that look up to me. And then that's what's so scary about all this is that I don't want to let people down. And I don't even know what I'm talking about now. I'll go to break and come back with more of your calls. Nelson in Georgia and others. Skeletor is called in. What is it? Donald Rumsfeld? I try to make jokes about it, but I'm telling you, the thing about evil is it sells this idea that it's sexy and big and powerful, and it always encases itself in that because it's really weak, and it's a just a stinking, booger-eating, death-loving, grasping weakness trying to be strong, and it's time for good to stand up and step on it. I mean, if you could see the spirit of good, it's like a giant, trillion-foot-tall, powerful juggernaut, and we let these little goblins just run rampant on us while they run around eating boogers in front of us. By the way, I've done 2 hours and 54 minutes of transmission here and have not separately plugged the books, the videos, the films, the T-shirts, all the stuff that is powerful to help wake you up and wake your family up and meet like-minded people by wearing the T-shirts, the Infowars.com T-shirts and stuff, the ball caps, all of it. It supports us here in what we're doing. And I've got a lot of different little funding mechanisms, PrisonPlanet.tv memberships to see the nightly news and to see the radio show, you know, $5.95 a month. It's really 6 memberships for the price of 1. So $1 a month per membership because you can share your username and passcode. We've got the Pro Pure water filters discounted. And you can use the promo code WATER and get 10% off on top of that at InfoWarsStore.com. And in the future, when you subscribe at InfoWarsStore.com, we're now going to have glossy magazines. InfoWars magazines, which we sell at cost. You know, the subscription gets you 13 issues to your door, but you can buy them in 10 packs up to 100 packs at cost. And the newsprint that we're selling out of, it's below cost. We're just moving that out right now, InfoWarsStore.com, an incredible tool. People really love print now that it's going away. And so this has been a big success, and I want to thank all of you. Be sure and get the new glossies at cost or the newsprint at below cost at InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. There is a fight between good and evil, and if we will stand up against evil and recognize it, we can turn the tide. But if we just decide that, oh, there's nothing we can do, hell is going to be manifest. Nelson in Georgia, thanks for holding. You're listening via iTunes. Then we've got Bill listening on WTAN 1340 a.m. in Florida. We're going to go to overdrive, and going to do that. Nelson in Georgia, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, I talked last week, and I'm a research scientist, and I want your listeners to be aware of the technology they keep from us. Stan Meyer in the 80s invented the process where every vehicle on the planet could run off of water. Hans Fleischmann with cold fusion. They totally buried that. It's all, you know, from Nikola Tesla's work. And I was wondering if you were aware about the Fox News thing where the CEO of Overstock.com was on there and said he was going to write in Ron Paul, which is pretty cool. And also that Russians are dumping 14 nuclear reactors out there in the Arctic Sea, which are just leaking poison into our
oceans. Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about, well, under the communists, I know they did it in lakes and in the ocean. You're totally psycho crazy. Communists always do stuff like that. They always have the worst environment. Russia doesn't do too much of that now because they're more... Oh, it's just horrible. These idiots that think big government is the answer have no historical lens. And yes, I did know that they've dumped dozens and dozens of reactors into the North Sea in places that... I mean, that ought to be illegal. But again, then they say, well, give us a global government. We'll fix it. Oh, the globalists are all into it. They're crazy.
You know that we have the technology to change the molecular properties of those nuclear fuel rods, so they won't be poisonous anymore. But they don't give it to us; they just let that stuff leach into our oceans.
I was aware of that. People don't know that they've for like 50 years they're able to create even new elements. They've created a whole bunch of new elements. People have no idea. That's what I mean. It's all in so reality is so wild and incredible, and reality, folks, is not reality TV. I mean, knowing this now, though, I mean, even like 3 years ago, it was cool to, you know, be on Jesse Ventura's TV show or have Discovery Channel or History Channel call up. I've refused a couple of Discovery and History Channel shows the last 6 months. BBC, I've refused. I think this Sunday night, Secrets of the Secret Societies is going to air on the Discovery or History that I'm in. And I'm not even going to watch it. And now I just say no to them. They're like, you're saying no to national television? Yeah, I'm saying no. I don't know. I might say yes down the road, but probably not. I just don't care anymore. None of it means anything. All these pathetic, jealous people of us, you have no idea. I've transcended you. I'm absolutely outside of your petty jealousy and all your crud. Folks, we're going to have no future if we don't come together right now.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, jamming in a few calls here. More coming up as they try to start an open hot war with Syria via Turkey. Bill in Florida, a WTAN 1340 AM listener, one of our, I don't know, we got like 10 affiliates in Florida now, one of our great affiliates down there. Bill, thanks for holding. You're on the air, sir.
You're welcome, Alex. First time I've spoke to you. I want to tell you something about what Michael Medved took a shot at you the other day. But before I get into that, I want to ask you, what do you know about technology stocks and companies?
I don't know. I mean, I know I have general knowledge. I don't know how to fix a computer. I read the big white papers about the future of the internet and where the globalists are going. So I understand the larger structures, but I don't really follow technology stocks a ton. I know that... generally, I don't want to comment on it because it's such a complex issue. But look, everybody's taking a shot at me now. I mean, it because you know the system's tried to suppress us, and now we're going supernova. I mean, the show is just exploding, and so the attacks are coming. So, but Medved has attacked me many times. I was at the RNC in 2004 in New York, and I just politely walked over and said, "Mr. Medved." Or Michael Medved, I'd like to interview you. And he went, "Alex Jones, you're the guy that says they're going to blow things up." And he was like trying to get everybody scared to get Secret Service or something. And I understood what he was doing. And I retreated because he wanted to get my credentials, obviously, taken. And he smiled and laughed, you know, like, "I ran you out," because they know how to use that fear to herd the cattle. But what did the little pathetic talk show host say about me?
Well, before I get into that, real quick, getting back to the technology thing, there was an analyst on there, two of them, matter of fact, and they were talking about this Christian-based company that's based in China, okay? And he claims, or they both say that this is going to be the next Apple of China, and it's called China Tech Faith Wireless. It currently trades on NASDAQ, its symbol is CNTF, that's China Nancy Tom Frank. And they were real hot in the stock, and the stock is, I think, only about a dollar a share. But they said they feel that this thing is going to be the next Apple and this thing is going to skyrocket.
Yeah, we hear that all the time. And I don't know enough to say, you know, if it's real or a pump and dump. I just don't know. See, if I focused on stocks, I'd be obsessed on it and then I would know about it. But instead, I just realize it's a big casino in the sky. It's all about insider knowledge. And it's all about the insiders basically more and more robbing everybody. But, I mean, China is – if China doesn't collapse, it will be the center of the world. But it's kind of an all-or-nothing situation from my perspective. But so what did Medved say?
About a week and a half or two ago, he had a guy in there substantiating – Medved's all about fluoride. And he was saying – because I know he's taking a shot at you – don't be listening to these conspiracy shows where they tell you that fluoride is bad for you.
Oh, no, he's attacked me by name many times. I don't even pay attention to him. People send me the clips. So I'm not surprised he doesn't even use my name anymore. I mean, look, they're upset that it's coming out that the American Medical Association has said, take it out of the water. I mean, that's now in the news. What he was hoping his audience didn't know that?
Well, Medved was all pro-fluoride. He says, you keep... never mind drinking that bottle of water. He said, you drink it right out of that tap with the fluorine all because it's good for you. And that's how he did it. And it was like almost demonic the way he sounded.
He's like, you take it, you scum.
Yeah,
he was a very filth. You drink what I tell you. Well, listen, food is at the center of the family, everything. And the hearth. And they want to tell you what to eat. And they do. They tell parents, you don't bring your school lunch. You drink what we drink. You take what we take. And we're going to make you take vaccines. And they're like, because it's what you're going to take, you cattle. So anyways.
You ought to check out his, I think it's on Tuesday or something. He has this once a week show where it's Conspiracy Tuesday or something. And he tries to debunk everything that you have supposedly conspiracy.
Yeah,
on.
Well, I mean, we're rising. He's, I don't know, I mean, really, not even on the map. So whatever, great for him, good for him. It actually hurts me that he's so evil. I mean, he's a pathetic creature. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us, InfoWars.com. Back tonight, 7 o'clock, PrisonPlanet.tv.